La 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 la. Welcome everybody back to Ready Set Stream, Gilmore Girls Edition. I am, as you know, Shannon.
And I'm Mark, and as always, you can like, rate, subscribe, share, please comment, and where we lead, you can absolutely follow us at the links below.
Instagram and our email address. Alright, so let's get into it. So this episode is Season 1, Episode 6, Rory's Birthday Parties. And yes, you did hear that correct.
There's more than one.
Yeah, there is. There are multiple parties.
All right.
So this one starts out with Friday night dinner, and you know how much I love the Friday night dinners.
Yes. Yeah. It's a staple.
It is a staple.
Should be, anyways.
Yes, absolutely. Good, bad, or ugly, it's definitely a staple.
Good, the bad, and the ugly there.
Yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So it starts out with Emily just mentioning that their lawyer is coming by the next morning. She named some man, and Lorelai's like, oh, crazy Sissy's dad. And Emily's like, she was a good friend, you know? And she's like, hey, Sissy talked to her stuffed animals, and they talked back.
Yeah, we always had one of them weird friends, didn't we?
Yeah.
Or at least I did. Did you?
Maybe I was a little bit of the weird friend. I relate to this slightly. I'm not crazy, and my name's not Sissy, but one of the things that I did when I was a child was I would line up all of my stuffed animals in front of the fireplace, and I would either preach to them, don't ask why, I don't know, or I would...
Were you holding court?
I was holding court. Okay. Or I would teach school to them.
All right.
Yeah, so...
well, you did become a trainer, didn't you?
I moved the show to the living room at one point, and I would have them all sitting on the couches in the living room as if they were...
Wasn't a vaudeville act, was it?
No, it wasn't a vaudeville act, but it was like they were in school seats, you know, those little school seats. And I would teach class and give demerits and everything, because that's back when you got demerits instead of those little colored cards, you know?
Red cards or whatever.
I will, however, tell you that the stuffed animals never actually did talk back to me, and I did not hear their voices. It was just me talking at them.
Okay.
And I do just think it's kind of funny, though. It set me up later in life, because I ended up being a corporate trainer and then went on to speak in front of crowds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was fitting.
It was early training.
Yeah, we had those weird kids we stayed away from. You know, like the ones that ate their own boogers and such.
Oh, God, yeah. I knew kids like that, too.
Yeah.
Back to the story. Emily says
Social distancing. That was the beginning.
Yeah, that was. So Emily says, everything's a joke with Lorelai, everyone's a punchline. My daughter, Henny Youngman, you know, which is, I think, an older comedian.
Yeah.
So at that point, Richard comes into the room for dinner. You know, he's a little bit late, and he says he had been on the phone with China, so that's a big deal. Yeah,
he's very important.
And he says, what did I miss? And Lorelai was like, I was being impossible, and then I turned into a Jewish comedian.
there you go.
Which I thought it was funny. So at that point, Emily starts to talk about how she wants Rory to go around and pick out what she wants them to leave her in their will and just put a post-it note on it. Yeah, Richard says, check out my desk in my office. It's a really fine Georgian piece. Rory kind of looks a little like, are we having this morbid conversation?
That leads to less disputes, you know, when you have a well-planned out will.
That is
estate
true.
Planning, less fighting, bickering over certain things. I get that. It is a little morbid, though, but...
Well, Lorelai says, why do I never bring a tape recorder to these dinners? I wish I had a recorder when we're going through this particular issue.
It'd be a fly on the wall.
But
maybe as a proof that all the misery at dinner.
Yes. So then Lorelai says they've reached a new level of weird. So Emily says that she can do it too. And Lorelai's like, well, it's way less creepy. So as long as Lorelai can do it too, then it's less creepy and she likes it. So a maid then brings out their dessert, and immediately Lorelai is surprised and she says, it's pudding. Why pudding? You don't like pudding. And Emily's like, but you like pudding. And Lorelai's like, I do like pudding. I worship it. I have a bowl on the mantle and with the Virgin Mary, a glass of wine, and a dollar bill next to it. Rory's like, I've never had pudding from a crystal bowl before. And Emily's like, you like the bowl? And Rory's like nodding, you know, she's got a smile on her face. And Emily says, put a post-it on it.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that scene, the very first scene. But then we immediately kind of...
Well, they have the opening.
As soon as it comes back, Lorelai and Rory are actually still in the house and they're looking around, placing post-its on things. Which I thought, that's kind of funny that they did it that night.
Well, it's morbid, macabre, and it's like a Twilight Zone episode.
And Lorelai's holding up some sort of vase, and she's like, what do we do with this, you know? And Rory's like, it's the strangest evening we've spent here. And Emily walks in at that point and asks how it's going, and Lorelai's like, well, it's great, just getting ready for the big day. And I thought, okay, so getting ready for the big day when all this becomes theirs. But she says, well, it's getting late, unless you've got some funeral plots for us to decorate, then we should probably get going. And Emily asks Rory, you know, about any special requests for dinner next week. And Lorelai wants to talk to her, so she kind of shoos Rory out of the way and tells her,
obviously,
why don't you go say goodbye to your grandfather? Mm-hmm. Rory's like very smooth, but she does leave. Emily said, should I sit down? And Lorelai's like, not there, she says. We have a post-it on it. We want to keep it nice. Emily's like, it must be very exhausting to be you. And Lorelai mentions that Rory's birthday is next week. And Emily's like, yes, I know. And Lorelai's like, we were thinking we could push our Friday night dinner to Saturday. So as soon as I hear those words, I'm thinking, okay, here's a disaster ready to be made. Emily says, well, what are you doing Friday? Lorelai says, well, I don't know. And I think that she's just being kind of deliberately vague. I don't think she wants to say to Emily, we're having a party for Rory. But she's being deliberately vague and saying, I don't know. Emily says, well, then come here and we'll have a little party. And Lorelai's like, I was still hoping we could do it another night.
Yeah, and the tennis match ensues, and, you know, there's an app for that, you know, a retort for that.
Yeah.
Because everything she gives her, she has an answer for.
Right, well, because Emily's immediate response is, well, why do it another night when her birthday falls on the exact night that you do come here? And Lorelai's like, Saturday's a pretty good night, Mom. And Emily's like, not as good as Friday. So, yeah, you're right. It's like back and forth. Okay, no matter what Lorelai says, Emily has a response back.
Yeah, the Messiah could show up. She'd be there. You better be there with bells on.
Yeah. So Lorelai says, it's pretty darn close. And Emily's like, not from where I'm standing. And Lorelai's like, then move then. Which I thought was funny. And Emily finally just says, I'm sorry, Friday nights are my night. That's what we agreed on when you borrowed money for her school. That hasn't changed. And Lorelai's like, Mom, I didn't intend for this loan to become a constant source of blackmail. This is my kid's birthday and she will have her party.
She's definitely holding them hostage.
Yeah, she said she will have her party on Friday and that's it. End of story.
Yeah, that's not the end of the story, is it?
No, it's not, because then
I thought she finally put her foot down, but yeah.
Well, she did put her foot down, but immediately it cuts to the next scene where it's just her and Rory, and she was like, how would you like to have two parties this year?
So
you immediately know that Emily won that fight.
And
Rory's like, so you didn't get her to cave? And Lorelai's like, yeah, she did agree to have the string quartet learn how to play like a virgin.
Yeah, I thought that was fitting because they call her Mary at Chilton.
Uh-huh.
That kind of ties in.
The Virgin
Mary.
Yeah,
Madonna. And like a virgin.
Right. Rory then asks, you know, is this going to be a really big affair? And Lorelai's like, no, it's going to be very subtle, I promise. She said, Saturday night, we'll do it up right at home. She says, at Stars Hollow Extravaganza.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, so is this party at Grandma's going to be really big deal?
No, it's going to be quaint little family get together.
Right. Well, Rory seems to look very concerned. She's got this look on her face like, please tell me this is not going to be really blown out of proportion.
It's just the Gilmores, you know.
Of course.
When have they blown anything out of proportion?
No, of course they don't. But Lorelai says, not really.
No,
the
biggie.
Government will close that day. The flags will fly at half mast. You know, Barbara Streisand is going to give her final concert again.
Yeah.
She says the Pope has previous plans, but he's trying to get out of it. However, Elvis and Jim Morrison are definitely coming.
They're
bringing chips. And Rory's only answer back to that is, you ask a simple question.
And you get stupid answers.
And you get Lorelai's answers.
Stupid game, stupid prizes.
Lorelai, of course, has to go on and on and on and on. So, that's what Rory definitely means by that. You ask a simple question, you get a Lorelai answer that is rambling and all over the place. But that's our Lorelai for you. So then we move off and we're on to the next scene and we're at the inn. Suki and Lorelai are planning for the real party.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they consider it to be the Lorelai definitely. Considers it to be the real party. And Suki's like, too bad you couldn't get your mother to relinquish Friday night. And Lorelai's like, no, she has the Vulcan death grip on that one. you know what she did last night? And Suki's like, wore jeans.
She is kind of comparing her to Spock there.
Yeah,
No emotions.
Emotionless. Oh my God. I didn't even pick up on that. But yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Suki's like, too bad she couldn't get her to let that night go. Lorelai's like, you know what she did last night? And she said, wore jeans. And I thought that was a funny line for Suki to make.
No.
And Lorelai said she served winning.
You know, that'd be like an episode of The Outer Limits. Could you imagine Emily wearing jeans?
No, I can't, actually.
Something drastic would have to happen for that.
Honestly,
later on it does, but we'll see.
There is only one time that I ever
dressed
saw
down. Yeah.
Emily wear jeans, and it happens.
We'll get to that.
Many, many, many seasons ahead.
It's in our
and it's
distant
only one.
Future.
Yeah, only one time through all these various seasons, you never ever see her wear jeans.
No,
ever.
She's always dressed to the nines,
and always
proper.
Reminding Lorelai to dress right.
Yeah. Appropriately.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly. Right. So Lorelai says that she actually served pudding. In a way, I kind of think that she only did it for Rory because Rory likes pudding, you know. But then Lorelai says that she likes pudding too. So I don't know. Maybe it was
she wouldn't
some
dress
sort
down
of
her dessert for just them.
No,
it'd
well,
be
just
creme brulee
one
or
person.
Something. Yeah, for her. Yeah.
But at that point, Jackson comes in and he is all excited, has Suki closing her eyes because he wants to pop a piece of produce into her mouth, you know, and it's a fruit. Suki's like, I taste raspberry, but there's something else.
Yeah.
And Jackson says that he has cross-pollinated a raspberry and a kumquat.
Yeah.
And she's like, I taste the kumquat. Yeah. You know, and he's trying to get Lorelai to eat some. And I'm the whole time I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what would you even call a hybrid like that?
Well, we had some interesting discussions of the names we could call that.
Rasquat? Quatberry? I don't know. But that
I'm not going to say what I came up with.
That second one that I said definitely did bring up something that Mark said. That
we're not going to go there.
Not appropriate.
For this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lorelai talks to Jackson. She's like, you don't have some kind of machine like in The Fly where you're going to turn yourself into a half hybrid raspberry man where you're going to have a raspberry head running the street crying, eat me, eat me.
Yeah.
And I could totally picture that when she said that.
I could totally picture Jackson doing that. Which is really strange, but that's how he is. So at that point, Michelle comes into the room, and he just kind of walks right into it. And next thing you know, Jackson is strutting around in front of Michelle, saying that Mother Nature bowed down to him. And Michelle's like, how nice for you.
Yeah, he don't give two tiddlywinks
and
about
he's
anything
like,
going on.
No need to fill me in. I'm quite happy being ignorant of whatever it is that has him raising his arms over his head.
Yeah.
So yeah, Michelle's
whatever.
Being... Yeah, he's being classic Michelle. Yeah. He doesn't really care. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. She tells him on her way out the door, Rory's birthday is Saturday night, so start thinking up reasons for why you can't come. And he says, I'm going to be out of town.
Yeah, that's his standard.
Yeah.
He used that last
year. Obviously, it's his standard because Lorelai's response is, you used that last year. And he says, I'll work on it again.
Try
back
better,
to you.
Yeah. Try better. Do better, man.
And Lorelai just looks at him and says, 7 o'clock, presence is mandatory.
Your brush off game needs work, dude.
And she leaves the room. Michelle turns back to Suki and Jackson is looking up and at him and he says, Rasquat? And that's basically the end of the
needless to
that
say
scene.
That's cleaner than my term for it anyway.
Yeah. I had thought of Rasquat and I thought
keep going, I'm gonna say
I had
it.
Thought of Quatberry.
No, let's stop now.
Okay.
I'll say it.
Okay. So then we cut over, and obviously Lorelai is just arriving home. She's coming in the door, and she says, Lucy, I'm home. And
I love Lucy, yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice shout-out to I Love Lucy.
I love that show. I don't know if you did, but I loved when she'd get up to no good, and he'd call her on it. You got some splaining to do.
Yeah. For some reason, I never really could
Fred
get into to the I Love Lucy show. I mean, I tried to watch it a few times, and I don't know if I just didn't get the humor at the time.
I liken it to The Honeymooners, kind of.
Well, see, I never really liked that show
but
either.
But Ralph was getting into shenanigans.
I never really liked that show either.
Yeah.
It's not like I didn't like shows from that era, though, because I liked Dobie Gillis and a couple, Father Knows Best, and there were a couple others that I liked. I liked Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver. That's what what I was thinking.
But I don't know. For some reason, both I Love Lucy and Honeymooners just didn't do it for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, she goes into the kitchen. She's on her way into the kitchen. You can see that Rory is on the phone and Lorelai is making some joke about being in love with...
Oh, he's dreaming. He's
joking around about Justin Timberlake being dreamy.
Yeah.
And, oh, Brittany, you know...
They're going to get married.
They're going to get married.
I'm going to be crying.
And, yeah. But she goes in there and Rory's hanging up the phone and saying pizza's on the way. And Lorelai's like, you're a good provider. You know, because she's got pizza on the way.
Good provider.
And just at that moment, Emily calls.
We're here for your whims, Rory. Yes.
Yes. Here for your whims.
Everyone wants to serve you.
But Rory goes into her room and just at that moment is when Emily calls. She announces to Lorelai that she wants to go shopping.
Not shopping again.
Yeah.
Is this going to be another ordeal like Rory put Lorelai through in the last episode?
Not quite.
Okay.
A little bit different. But she wants to go shopping with Lorelai to get Rory something for her birthday.
Okay.
She said, I want it to be something special. Something she wants. Something you would get her. And Lorelai's like...
That's telling right there.
Okay, so you can get her the bong then. I thought that was so funny. And Emily's...
She didn't even get a response out of her.
No, she really didn't. She just keeps on saying...
She's used to it by now.
Right. Well, she basically just says, will you just let me into your secret club for just this once so that way I can get her something that she really wants for her birthday. Something nice. She said, we hardly see her. And when we do, it's all about school or her friend Jane. And Lorelai's like, you mean Lane?
Yeah, she doesn't know her. Cause...
No, she doesn't. She doesn't know her.
Well, she has a hard time with names. Remember the maid, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. She can never know who the name
whatever her name was.
Mira turned out to be Sarah.
Yeah. Whatever.
But she, if you watch in later episodes, she never remembers the maid's name.
Yeah.
Ever.
I'm not big on names either. I know faces, but that's just ridiculous. I don't even know who's working for you.
But this is somebody apparently that that Rory talks about
get
constantly. So if she talks about her at every Friday night dinner, why would she not know that her name is Lane and not Jane?
Yeah, well, she doesn't pay attention to those details because she's not interested.
Right.
She's interested in Chilton life and
right.
her kind of life.
But I digress.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I heard this scene, I was a little surprised at how readily Lorelai agreed to do this.
Yeah, that was out of character
thought,
a little bit.
Yeah.
No resistance at all.
None at all.
Yeah.
She didn't even look uncomfortable. She just kept messing with whatever was on the table that she was, you know,
usually
papers
she
or
runs
something.
For the hills, avoidance, but I guess it was for Rory, so she was like, yeah, I want Rory to have something nice.
Even then.
Well, she didn't want her to get her something ridiculous.
So, well, yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's why.
She agrees right away, which kind of surprised me. I said, this would typically be a time where Emily is trying to take over, and generally Lorelai would have seen it as that, but she didn't, you know, but Emily does seem in this conversation to be very sincere and very happy when Lorelai agrees. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And she almost starts to tell her to dress appropriately.
Yeah, it was almost a perfect call up at that point.
Yeah.
She couldn't get it out of her mouth, though.
But Lorelai cuts her off and tells her, don't finish that sentence.
Yeah, it was like, dress she's like, definitely finish that sentence.
And Emily stops.
It's like, quit while you're ahead.
Right. And Emily stops.
Do the right thing.
And Lorelai says, that a girl.
Yeah. That a girl.
I thought that was kind of fun. Okay, so then we pan over and we're at Chilton. So it must be the next day.
Yeah.
And Tristan comes up to Rory at her locker.
Here it comes out.
Yeah. Rory doesn't look or sound happy to see him, so she does not talk nice to him. She does not look happy. And he wishes her a happy birthday, and she tells him it's not her birthday.
He's all sly about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says, well, it's going to be. And he kind of pops up this paper envelope. And, and she's like, what's that? And he hands it to her. And it's this fancy monogrammed birthday party invite.
Yeah. They spent a lot of money on that.
And she said, basically asks, who all got this? And he figures pretty much everybody in their class.
They spread around like wildfire. So
and,
he gets
right. And she starts to walk away. And she's got this look on her face like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, OMG, girl.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you could tell that she does not want this happening.
She don't even get halfway down the hall.
And then somebody says, that's her.
Yeah,
she walking
starts
by.
It.
And she's hearing them talk, you know, back about, yeah, my mother's making me go.
Yeah.
And another one's like, yeah, it's another one of those obligation
parties.
And Rory looks extremely uncomfortable.
She's just getting calls dumped on her left and right.
You can just tell.
It's like the walk of shame.
You can just tell she's trying to disappear into the floor.
Yeah.
You know, she does not look happy.
Yeah, she definitely wants to hide.
Yeah, she's got her head ducked down, and she's just trying to get through that hallway as quickly as possible. And she hasn't made it, I mean, she hasn't made any friends here. All she has are enemies. You know, she's got Tristan that she doesn't like.
Yeah, well, she's not interested in him.
And then she's got Paris and her two minions, Madeline and the other one that has yet to be named. And they're all they want to do is pick fights with her.
That's not her social circle. That's just like if you work somewhere, you don't have friends. You just work associates.
She's got plenty of friends at home.
Yeah.
But these are, exactly what you said. These are more like
associates.
Work associates.
Because school is work for her.
She has to associate with
that's
them.
That's her job.
So, you know, she's making all these, she's going to have to meet all these strangers at the party, and she's just not comfortable with it. You know, it's not a Rory thing. But I will say one thing. I love the song playing in the background. It was the Altered Images Happy Birthday song. And I thought it was so funny because in 16 Candles, that is the song. That is the exact song by the exact band that is played in that movie. And of course, if anybody who has seen that movie knows, it's all about the fact that everybody forgot Molly Ringwald's birthday.
Yeah.
And how upset she was through the whole movie. Well, in this case, it's being played because nobody's forgetting Rory's birthday. Everybody knows about Rory's birthday, including a lot of people she does not want to know about her birthday.
Well, I was mentioning that. I also made the connection when she's like, the Dongers was been here like 5 minutes and he's already got somebody, you know, like a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I have nobody. No one, you know.
Right.
And she had a friend at school, Molly Ringwald, but Rory has her friend, Lane. Or not Jane, Lane, at home.
Right.
So she could say that to her, you know?
Right.
But so I made that comparison.
I just thought it was funny,
though. Love the Donger.
Yeah.
Dong.
I just thought it was funny, though, how Molly Ringwald was so unhappy that they forgot her birthday, and Rory looks like she wishes that they had forgot her birthday to the same song. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
All right, so the next scene, we pan over, and Lorelai and Emily are out shopping.
Song's still playing. I think that song follows them through
the
this
song
episode.
Does follow them into the next scene, but it does eventually stop while they're in the middle of
it. I think
of,
it's a couple scenes, though.
Yeah. It does come back around, and we'll point that out. Emily holds up a hat, and Lorelai's like, yeah, as soon as we have her crowned to the Queen of England, we'll give it to her. And then Emily's like, you're so combative today, you know. But Lorelai goes and finds a pink guitar purse. And she holds it up. And, okay, I gotta say, even as quirky as she and Rory are, even I think that that one is a little too young.
Well, that's is a little cutesy-kitsy.
Honestly, that's something that I would get for my 8-year-old granddaughter.
Yeah. And she's like, what's she supposed to do with that? She's like, put things in it. And she's like, well, they'll think she's an axe murderer. And I thought that was funny because guitars are called axes, you know.
I
made that connection. I was like, yeah, she's got a mean accent.
Yeah. So then the next thing
you know.
The next thing you know, Emily's going on and on about, a double strand of pearls.
Well, yeah, she's a little too young for a pearl necklace. But anyways,
and Lorelai's,
expensive gifts equal nice gifts.
Exactly.
That's
to her,
that's the pattern, huh?
And Lorelai's like, think young, Mom. You know, so she's trying to get her to realize Rory is not this sophisticated older woman. Think young. Get her a gift that's her age, you know? Which I thought, again, harking back to the guitar person, I'm like, yeah, young, but not too young.
Yeah.
You know,
we're not going
out
of preschool here. Come on.
But Emily says, a Mont Blanc pen.
Yeah.
And Lorelai is like, no. And she's like, you know what, to use at her desk at the law firm?
And some pens are greater than others, but a pen's a pen to me.
A pen is a freaking pen.
A gel pen is nicer than a regular ballpoint. Whatever.
I like a good gel pen.
Yeah. Other than that, you don't need to spend $1,000 on it.
No.
I mean, I know that's a nice gift. I got a pen as a gift once. You know, they're nice, but
I mean, it's nice to have, but somebody got me a set of special pens one time. I never used them. I kept them in the case.
You keep them?
Because I felt like they were more like a collector's item than they were a pen, you know?
Do not touch the collector item. You know?
Right. And Emily's like, well, she needs to be able to write. And Lorelai's like, not with a $200 pen.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize they were that expensive. I knew they were expensive.
Pens can get up there.
But
now.
I didn't realize they were that expensive.
Yeah, it's probably had gold inlay or something. I don't know.
Probably. So then, of course, Lorelai is pointing out a day planner, mermaid erasers, and Emily's like, be serious.
Again, is she eight or something? Come on now.
I know. And I'm kind of thinking, like, Lorelai.
Well, she did say in the previous episode, I wish I could keep her eight and she's
that's
playing
true.
Cards. because, you know, whatever.
But she's all about getting Rory something that...
practical, useful, that she would enjoy.
Lorelai's supposed to know what Rory would like.
Yeah, that's why she's
and
here.
And to me, I feel like she's pointing out things that are way too young for Rory. And at one point, I actually wondered if she was trying to sabotage Emily. But at the same time, I don't think so. Because she seemed very sincere.
It was like Colonel Jessup and A Few Good Men. You do believe that, Mom, that I'm here to help.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you really think he was helping? No.
Yeah, well I'm going to revisit that.
Was she sabotaging? Well, I don't know.
I'm going to revisit that idea in just a minute, but yeah. Basically, Emily says, be serious, we're shopping for Rory. And Lorelai says, no, you're shopping for your imaginary granddaughter, Barbara Hutton. And I am going to circle back to talk about the Barbara Hutton thing here in a minute, but they continue to kind of banter back and forth about how Emily wanted her help. Lorelai's like, I'm giving it, but you're not listening.
Yeah, she's like, Jerry Maguire, help me help you.
Right.
There's another tie in there.
And Emily was like, all you showed me was a t-shirt with Farrah Fawcett's face. And I thought, okay, right there, I've got to say something about this. This is kind of a tie-in Farrah Fawcett reference with the Barbara Hutton reference. Because in case you did not know, Barbara Hutton, and there was a miniseries about her life back in the late 80s, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Mid to late 80s, called Poor Little Rich Girl. And it was about Barbara Hutton, who was an heiress. This is a true story. And she had this very, very unhappy life, you know, strings of marriages that failed because everybody around her, all they wanted her for was her money. Everyone, her friends, anyone around her just wanted her for her money. Mm. And it was kind of a sad story, but it was played by Farrah Fawcett. And I don't know, I just think that's kind of funny. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen Farrah Fawcett do. And it kind of reminded me of, what's that movie?
The Burning Bed. Yes. That was very impactful
That
to me.
Was a very impactful
She's a good actor.
She is a wonderful actress. I kind of felt like, you know, I grew up watching the original Charlie's Angels that she was in. Yeah. And no, I'm not knocking that show or what she did on it, but it was a good starter show for her.
It was a waste of her talent.
It was but it was a waste of her talent ultimately because...
And we're not going to get into the remakes.
So, no. Yeah. But she ended up moving on and doing these serious roles that you really started to say, wow, she's not just a pretty girl in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
This is a very serious, really, really wonderful actress. But
her life kind of, to a lesser degree, mirrored Hutton's life, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, she actually did have a very unhappy life herself. I think that her life...
Not on that scale.
Not quite to that scale, no. But I do know that a lot of people did kind of use her in her life. And she was a little mistreated here and there.
For a different reason.
For different reasons, yeah.
But similar.
But anyway, so there was that reference there. And then Emily's kind of accusing her of not helping. And she says, you do know how to do this. Think pudding.
Yeah, think pudding there, Emily.
Think pudding.
You've already done it before.
This is basically Lorelai saying she knows what Emily tried to do with the pudding.
Yeah, calling her out on a little bit.
You know, she's that it was kind of like an olive branch.
I recognize. You know? I'm trying to help you.
Right.
Help me help you, like I said.
Right. And then Lorelai says, you know, you asked for my help. You're reaching. You're reaching out, pudding. So, I mean, that's basically her telling her, I know what you were doing, you know. You were looking for a way to make a connection with us. And you use pudding. So she kind of goes off to look for something else. And Emily's looking and finds this set of funky little plastic bracelets. You know? And she holds those up to Lorelai and she's like, what about these?
Compares it to the gas station, gas car wash, or whatever.
And, she says, those would be great. But, you know, Emily almost doesn't get them because she doesn't think they're expensive enough.
Yeah.
She's
like, if it's not expensive enough, it's not.
They're only $12.
Yeah.
And she said, well, Rory would totally love that. She says, well, you don't think it looks like something you'd buy at a car wash?
Yeah.
And Laura's like, totally. That's half the fun. Yeah. You know, that's half the charm. Then Emily discovers that it lights
up. $6 a car wash. You got $6 left
over. Yeah. And Emily discovers that it lights up.
Oh, yeah. I loved her surprise. Like, oh!
So Emily kind of looks over at her with a smile, and Lorelai is grinning at her. And for once, I thought they both look so unguarded and playful, like they're really enjoying each other's company. And I just thought, okay, finally, there's a sweet moment between these two. Yeah. Did you feel that way?
But it's going to be short-lived, probably.
Well, generally, it usually is, unfortunately. But
yeah, but it was dinner moment, I guess.
When you get, because they're so short-lived, when you get one, you really appreciate it. You know
it will be destroyed, though,
of course. So then we pan over and we're at Luke's. Lorelai's sitting up at the counter. You know, Lorelai tells Luke that she's gonna have to entertain her until Rory gets there.
Yeah, entertain me, and monkey boy, dance for me,
no,
monkey boy.
What she says is, okay, burger boy, dance.
Yeah, burger boy. And I was thinking Zoolander.
Yeah,
dance, monkey, dance.
And Luke just looks at her with this serious face and goes, will you marry me?
Yeah.
And my heart stopped for a second, oh, yeah. I have to say, because I thought,
finally.
Oh, is he serious?
Yeah.
You know, because I will make no bones about the fact that I stan Luke and Lorelai.
Yeah, you're team Luke, right?
I will ship that couple all day long, forever.
We got it.
And I don't know, that would just, it made my heart stop for just a second. Then Lorelai actually looks at him kind of serious.
Yeah,
and
I thought she was about to, she says, what? Or something.
Yeah, I know. And she says, what? And he said, he was just looking for something to shut her up.
Oh, see.
And I was like, why did you have to do that, Luke? Go with it.
This was his chance to be like, he could just looked at her and said, is this how you really see me? Why don't you just go out with me for a change? That would have been the time.
He's had so many
instead of the marry me, he should have just cut her off and said, look, do you think I'm a joke?
Yeah.
He could have got real with her.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have had a show. I get
well,
that.
Here's the thing. We're only 6 episodes into this show.
But there's a history
and
there.
And we already are thick into the history of Luke and Lorelai. And we already know
he's
there's
a father figure
there.
To Rory.
Yes.
She likes him.
They flirt with each other all the time.
She asks Rory, what do you think about Luke? You know.
Yes.
So there's.
And Luke watches her walking away all the time.
He's pining for her.
They are always flirting with each other. And it gets worse with every episode.
Just cut the cute
or better,
already.
I should
That's
say.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's had so many opportunities to ask her out. And he has not taken
he's
them.
He's dropping the ball, probably.
But like you said, if they got together, we probably wouldn't have a show.
Yeah.
Because if you go
it's
back
and soon.
Look at shows.
You got to have that conflict.
Yes, if
at
you
all
go
times.
If you go back and look at shows and history, as soon as the characters that you want to get together, the show's over.
But something
so
happens.
So what they have to do is make something happen.
Break them up a little bit.
To break them up for a little while in order to keep the show going.
But that's we watch it anyways. So
but
there
those
you go.
Are ones where those are ones where the storyline kind of revolves
tension.
Around a singular couple and whether or not will they, won't they get together? You know,
even if there's a triangle, there's that. Who
there's
will
still
it
that.
Be?
Who will it be? Yeah. Exactly. I have to harken back to the day. And there's our listeners probably may not even remember this reference, but one of my favorite TV shows growing up was Moonlighting with Sybil Shepherd and Bruce Willis. The sexual tension between the two of them was like off the charts lightning. And it was a whole will they ever get together thing. And eventually they did toward the end of the show. I think it was partially responsible for why they got together because it was one of the most watched episodes of the show. Everybody had been waiting and waiting and waiting and wishing and hoping that they would get together. They finally did, and then it just all kind of dwindled away after that. And I think it kind of made a stigma on shows that don't do this because as soon as you do it, the show ends.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into Scott's personal views on his
character. Oh yeah, he's got personal
why
views on this.
He doesn't take the shot. Yeah, we get that. But I'm just pure fan perspective. I'm like, dude, what are you waiting on?
Yeah, just give it a go. So, you know, once she realizes he's just joking with her, you know, she says he better be nice or he won't get invited to Rory's party on Saturday night. And he says she doesn't have to ask him.
Yeah.
And he's looking at her very kind of, he's got this little smile on his face.
Oh, yeah.
And it's flirting.
That's his
again.
Flirt, yeah.
He's flirting. And she says she knows, but she wants him to come. And she's smiling back at him. And I'm like, I want to knock the two of their heads together.
Well, we've,
like,
we've
dang,
been over
you know?
His indecisiveness on his personal life. And he's take action in his and
well,
everything
else.
Well,
I gotta tell you, she, I guess she's old school, the guy asks the girl.
Sometimes
interest
a woman
known.
Just has to have enough and say, if you're not going to be a man, I'm going to be the man.
Well, you know, I wanted her to say something too, but at this point, I'm not sure if she's even recognized herself how much she likes him.
Not that I have a problem with that, especially in this day and age. It takes a lot of stress off the man because you don't know how to approach a woman.
No, that's true.
But back then, he should have been the man.
Yeah, that's true.
And stepped up.
And women are a lot more
assertive.
Assertive about, you know, just going after what they
and
want
men are
when
afraid.
It comes to men.
Me too. I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So, yeah, you got to be careful.
You don't want to be taken
You got to be
wrong.
Careful out there, man.
You don't want your gestures to
it's
be...
It's sad you're demasculated, in a sense.
Well, you know, that's a good point that you make, because I respect the heck out of the Me Too movement. I'll go ahead and say I'm part of it, you know? I'm not going to reveal to what extent, but I'm a part of it.
But
so
some false
I can
accusations
definitely,
have diminished it.
Yeah, that's so. True. It has taken away
Who do
some
you
of,
take seriously?
Some of the validity of it, because people have made false accusations and whatnot. not, but it has made men, I think, feel genuine men.
Yeah.
Let me make that very clear.
Well, there's...
I'm talking about genuine men, and they have been made to kind of feel like, I don't know what I can do. I don't know if
that's
I
what
can,
I'm saying.
I don't know if I can reach out and,
how do you
and
approach
just kind
woman?
Of touch her hand, or even less than that. There used
to
be
an appropriate way as a man to approach a woman without crossing a line, and if you did cross the line, it was up to the woman to put a stop to it.
Even if you don't, you know? Like... Well, even if the man doesn't, like, touch a shoulder or touch a hand, you know, to make his sincerity known, he's often, nowadays, sometimes afraid to even say certain things, you know?
I'm only bringing this up because their situation, but this isn't a political show, so let's
kind of move absolutely
on.
Not. But... Okay, I get you, Hank. Yeah. Shut up, Shannon.
Well, let's stay away from that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be lighthearted here.
But anyway, so he does look very happy to have been asked. He's got that smiley look on his face, you know. And at that point, Rory comes in, and Luke remarks on her face, and Rory just says, coffee. Which I thought was so funny, because I've had days like that. I've been like, just bring me some coffee.
But here again, we get the line. They tell each other everything, but here she goes, omitting things.
Right, so Rory goes and sits down. Lorelai joins her, and Rory just kind of makes the remark, I have now used the word suck so much, it's now lost all meaning to me.
It's lost its suckage.
Right. And but Lorelai cheers her up by showing her dresses for the party
that
Emily had bought for her. And Rory asks if it's
good for her morale.
Yeah. And Rory asks if it's a Halloween party, because she's holding up the bottom half of the dresses, and they're like tons of tulle.
And it was dark. And I kind of thought that was fitting because of the opening, it was morbid, and it was all about death and post-its and stuff. They were dressing for a funeral, almost.
Right.
That's how it looked to me, anyway.
But Lorelai thinks that she can do something with the dresses, and she starts telling Rory about her shopping trip. And
I gotta hand it to her, she does.
She was telling her about Emily's, you know, holding up different things that were totally inappropriate, and saying, you know, who are you buying that
didn't
for?
Didn't she say it was 3 hours? Yeah. So it was kind of like an excursion, though.
I don't remember her mentioning a time frame.
I think it was 3 hours, and I was like, oh, yeah, that was a little bit torturous.
Yeah.
And so every little thing. But she was having fun looking for Rory, though, I guess.
That's true.
That made it better.
But she told Emily, who are you buying that for? Have you met Rory? And Lorelai says that she finally listened, though, to Lorelai's advice about the gift, and thinks that Emily has ended up getting her something that Rory is really going to like.
Hopefully she picked out a winner.
And Rory sounds surprised, you know, and she says, wow, I've never seen you so cheery after spending time with Grandma.
Yeah, and this leads to the line, I think.
Yes.
She always has a motive.
And Lorelai says, well, you know, it's been a long time since we've had some alone time. We've been together and didn't end up fighting. She said it was refreshing. It wasn't exactly fun, but I didn't get that shooting pain in my eye like I usually do, which I thought that was a hysterical line. You know, Luke brings over their coffees at that point, and where they tell him that, you know, Rory's birthday party, you know, you remember her 8th birthday party, where the cops were called and they shut down the party and the clown was arrested.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really funny, and he was like, they shut down an 8-year-old's birthday party? And they're like,
that clown crossed
you know?
The line. I don't think he was bozo or something.
No. So she asked Rory why she seemed so down. And here we get to it. You know, Rory says, oh, you know, I got an A- on a test. And, you know, Lorelai's like, A-, that's great, you know. So, but she doesn't tell her the real reason why she's not happy. But for once, I kind of think this wasn't self-serving. It wasn't that she was holding something back from Lorelai, like telling her about Dean.
Yeah.
But it was more about she didn't want to bring her mother down. She had a good time with Grandma, and she didn't want that to end.
She didn't want to rock the
Lorelai.
Boat,
if Lorelai and Emily were getting along, she did not want to be the one that was going to ruin that.
Yeah.
So that's why she kept it to herself, which I thought, you know, that was kind of unselfish
admirable,
of her.
Yeah.
So Lorelai says something about the dresses. That
Does
they
that
should...
ever work out, though?
We'll no, see. Not always. But Lorelai says something about the dresses, and, you know, I think that they should just embrace the tulle since it's her birthday.
Yeah.
And the 16 candles song begins to play
again. That is again.
And Rory's like, yeah, lucky me.
Yeah, it's all chipper.
Yeah, she's definitely not happy. So then we pan over, and it's nighttime. Rory is in bed, and the clock next to her reads 4:03 a.m., and in comes Lorelai to get into the bed with her.
Yeah, this is a nice scene for me.
I loved this scene. She says, I can't believe how fast you're growing up. What have you think of your life so far? Rory's like, well, you know, I'd like for the humidity to go away. And she says, I'll see what I can do about that.
Yeah.
And then Lorelai starts talking about how, at this time, many moons ago. She had a fat stomach and thick ankles, and she was swearing like a sailor. And
yeah, my mom wouldn't do that about the ankles and whatnot, but she would relive the experience with me about my birth. Well, it was kind of a traumatic, almost a horror scenario, because I kept turning and that used the forceps to pull me out. And I do remember my grandmother wasn't there. My granddad went home and she was like, "How'd he look?" And he's like, "Rough." Yeah, you seen my pictures. I look like I took some rounds with Mike Tyson there.
Yeah.
And that was even
after almost, it had healed a little. Yeah.
After it had healed.
That kind of reminds me of that movie City Slickers with Billy Crystal, where at the very beginning of the movie, it's his birthday. And his mom calls him and leaves him a voicemail. And this was back in the days of answering machines. And he and his wife are laying there and they're just listening to the mom.
Yeah.
And he is mouthing the words as the mom says it.
I can recite it.
Because it happens every year, so he can recite the whole thing.
Yeah.
All the way down to where she goes, "Oh."
And that goes back to Rory going, "Here we go."
Yep. That's because that is Rory's next line. She says, "Okay, here we go."
But I enjoy it.
So, yeah.
You know.
And Lorelai says, "I think you're a great kid, the best friend a girl could have." And I thought that was such a sweet thing to say. She goes on, she's saying that she was swearing like a sailor. And she said, "While some may call this the most meaningful moment of your life, to me, it was something more akin to doing the splits on a crate of dynamite." And I thought, wow, okay, yeah, totally. And Rory's like, "Wonder if the Waltons ever did this." And Lorelai was, "I was screaming and swearing." And she just goes on and on and on. And she ends by saying that she found that a great use for the ice chips that they gave her by pelting them at the nurses.
Yeah.
And Rory says, "I love you, Mom." And Lorelai just shushes her, you know, and continues to talk about, you know, what happened, you know, to see the,
and let's continue.
The doctor, you know, sees her head at that point, et cetera. That does kind of make me think about something that I've noticed so far.
That.
When she tells her, "I love you, Mom," you very rarely, if ever, hear Lorelai say, "I love you" to anyone. And I noticed it at first in this episode, but as you go through the seasons, pay attention to that.
They're few and far between.
They're very few and far between where she ever says, "I love you."
Or it's always in passing. "I love you, kid." Or
right.
It's not a direct.
It's very little.
It's not direct and personal. Like, "I love
you." All right, so the next scene is we're back in Luke's. So, I like that we got to see a lot more of Luke in this episode.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot more time in Luke's, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it was a nice hiatus from Max.
Yes.
I would say.
It
gave him, especially Lorelai, some moments of clarity there where she could take a step back from that.
Well, she could have figured some stuff out. With
his barrage
step
of Max was a little too much. So, she needed a breather. Too.
She did.
And so did Luke.
He
was going to go crazy. Postal even.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Rory and Lane are in the diner, and they're up at the counter, and, you know, Lane is telling her that she should be able to take her birthday off, you know, and she says, "Well, she has a test today."
Yeah.
And Lane says,
I like this.
I know, I do too. She says, "Every day you have a test. When do you ever have time to learn anything to be tested on?"
I felt that way in school sometimes myself.
I did too.
Especially after high school.
So at that point, Luke comes over and tells them that they're at the wrong table. And she's like, "How can we be at the wrong table?" And he says, "Because the other table, where I have coffee cake and stupid balloons that I blew up, are over there on that other table." And Rory's like, "Luke, you old softy." And Luke's like, "I count to three and it's gone."
Yeah, his little Michelle, inner Michelle is coming out there.
Yeah.
He's had enough about that.
This catering just kind to of, but I just thought here is a really good example of how Luke kind of played the surrogate dad in her life. You know, he didn't, how many customers does he set up table with coffee,
none,
cake, and balloons for?
He'll throw you out more than
exactly
be nice to you because you're on your phone or something.
But he treats Lorelai's daughter like his daughter.
Oh, yeah, he's the father.
Yeah.
Basically, because Christopher is obviously nowhere to be found.
Oh, yeah. And we just get to discuss Christopher later on, and we find out just how much out of the picture he is.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so they go over to the special table, and
not that he didn't want to be, we'll find out. I'm not coming down on him on that.
No.
But we'll talk about that later.
Okay, so she tells Lane that she's not happy about the Chilton kids coming to her party.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the first that she hasn't told her mother that.
She's only telling Lane. Yeah, she confides in Lane because that's a safe place.
And she says that her grandmother invited them and she doesn't want them there, etc. And Lane is like, "What did Lorelai say when you told her?" And Rory says that she didn't tell her... tell her, and she's, well, why not? And she said, because of the pudding. And I thought, okay, here we are, back at the pudding. And she says they went out, they were shopping together, and they didn't fight.
That's almost like an infamous pudding there.
And they didn't fight.
Yeah.
And I just thought, okay, so clearly Rory is not wanting to ruin what might possibly be a truce here. And she says, you know, if I told her, she'd wig out, she'd call grandma, no more pudding. In other words,
she's laying on her sword, but it is going to befall her here in a little bit.
I know. But in other words, paraphrasing, you know, from that line that she said to Lane, she's afraid that the uneasy budding truce would be over. And I just kind of thought this was an unselfish moment for Rory.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really sweet. You know, she wanted her mom to have that possible connection with her mother and maybe build on it. Too bad it doesn't always end up that way. But
I was really liking Dean here. He just happens to come in.
Dean does come in.
But I'm liking him at this point. I don't know if he was stalking, but he just happened to come in.
No, he comes in and
to get a coffee.
He goes straight to the counter. He gets a coffee.
He's leaving her alone.
He looks over and
smiles. He notices her.
Yeah, he leaves her alone.
He's backing off a little.
He looks over and he notices her and he gives her a smile. Yeah. She gives him a tiny smile in return.
And this is what I like about it.
And when he leaves, he looks over at her as he's opening the door and he mouths the words, happy birthday.
And she smiles.
And she smiles.
It made her day.
Yeah.
I like that. He backed off. He got the hint.
Yeah, I just thought that was
told her he was going to.
I thought that was a very sweet
moment.
Dean is
being good right now.
Yeah.
He's on my nice list.
He's on the nice
list.
We'll
see how long.
All right, so then we move off, and we're at the party set up central, let me tell you.
Okay.
We're at the Gilmores, and the drill sergeant, Emily, is on patrol.
She's inspecting. Yeah, she's going around inspecting.
And she's going around telling everyone, get a ruler so the candelabra are 6 inches apart.
Oh, God. Let me tell you this.
I'm like, oh, my God.
This reminds me of dog owners when they'd come in to pick up their pets after I groomed them. I had one come in and literally took out a ruler to measure the length of hair. Yes, to make sure it was 2 inches.
Oh, my God.
In length, all over.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I thought that was... you could do that after you take the dog outside.
Okay.
To do it right in front of the groomer is a little poor taste.
But right, yeah,
that reminded me of Emily so bad right there.
Yes, all the candelabra have to be 6 inches apart.
You'd be surprised what Emily's of the world will do.
That's very true.
In front of people. It has to be just so.
Yeah, that's true. Rory and Lane come in at that point, and Lorelai's holding a garment bag, I'm assuming, with Rory's dress, because she's wearing her own. Lorelai looks around, and she's like, geez, Mom, leave some servants for the rest of the neighborhood. Yeah. Because literally, the place is hopping with servants. You would think the party was already going.
Oh, yeah.
With the amount of servants that there are, you know, setting
it's
up.
Quite
and everything.
The event,
it's
you know?
Huge. Yeah, it is the event. It's the event of the season. Yeah, uh-huh. So, Lorelai remarks how she went all out, Edith Wharton style. Edith Wharton would have been proud.
Yeah.
So, Rory goes to change, and at that point, Emily notices Lorelai's dress, and she's like, obviously, Lorelai's made some modifications to it.
It's where's the dress?
Very pretty. It's actually a very gorgeous dress.
Oh, yeah.
It's spaghetti straps, and it's kind of a dark lavender, almost purple, but not quite purple.
Yeah, this
is
not
a dark
purple.
It's not the
first time she's done well with the dress.
Oh, Lorelai can definitely sew. Oh my gosh.
And now this. She was spot on with it.
I love the fact that the dress, it's form-fitting about 6 inches above the knee. It turns sheer all the way down to the floor.
Yeah, I don't know what that monstrosity she had picked out for him, but that looked totally different.
And much improved.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Emily looks at it and asks, you know, if she's turned Rory's dress into a hat. Yeah. And I did think that was a funny line.
She had less material to work with. You know what I mean? She stripped it down, in other words.
But Lorelai's only comment back to her is, nice candles, 6 inches apart.
Yeah, I know you. You don't know me.
I thought that was funny.
That was a deeper, I know you. You don't know me.
Next thing you see, Lorelai goes and sits down next to Rory because the party's already going. Rory is kind of off in a corner by herself. And Lorelai goes and sits down with her and hands her a drink.
Yeah.
And she gives her a Shirley Temple. And Rory asks, what are you drinking? She lets her have a sniff of it. And Rory's nose crinkles up a little like, oh, wow, that's strong. And she says, a Shirley Temple Black.
Yeah, that's kind of a double entendre there.
She says, I've got your good ship lollipop right here, mister.
Yeah, I love that line.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like a double entendre.
It is a double entendre because
her last name turned to Black.
Shirley Temple, when she eventually grew up and got married, her last name was Black.
And it was loaded with alcohol.
Yeah.
So that's kind of,
By calling it a Shirley Temple people black. It was saying it's black.
Does that
it's
tell you
loaded.
How that relationship
yeah.
went too?
Uh-huh.
You know.
So that was kind of a neat little shout out to Shirley Temple, not just Shirley Temple, but her as an adult. She had an accomplished career.
Wasn't quite a good ship all the time, but
No, but she definitely went in another direction. She went into politics.
Yeah, she made something up.
So I thought that was interesting. So then Emily comes over immediately, grabs Rory, and just starts dragging her off.
Oh, good.
And she's got people to introduce her to. At that point, Lorelai's sitting there alone, then she runs into someone.
Oh, God, yes.
From high school who says that she hasn't seen her since her 7th month.
Mitzi?
Oh, Mitzi, yes.
Yeah,
she said, oh, Lorelai, I haven't seen you since. And Lorelai's like...
Now this guy... Oh, no.
Lorelai,
all right, go ahead.
Lorelai starts to interrupt her, and she said, since your 7th month.
Oh.
And Lorelai was like, I was going to say high school, but okay. And Mitzi's like, did I say something wrong? She says, I'm trying to work on that being rude thing.
Yeah, no. Yeah. She's what a witch hazel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, well, hold on. She's not done. She says, so Lorelai Gilmore, the scandal girl. She said, whatever happened with Christopher?
Wow.
And Lorelai's like, he's in California. And she's like, do you hear from him?
Well, she's recently divorced, so she's on
Yeah, she said she was recently divorced.
Yeah, she's trolling here.
But she's trying to work on her rudeness.
Well, she's trying to get intel on Chris. She don't care about her.
No. And she says that, well, Lorelai tells her he's in California.
She's nonchalantly aggressive, is that what I call it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she says, have you heard from him? Then she pauses and goes, I'm sorry, is this painful for you to talk about? When did he last call you?
Continuously goes with
Yes. Just when did he last
no,
call
I'm saying
you?
It,
you know. Well, Lorelai herself, she's starting to get a little peeved because her response back is, gosh, you're making good progress with that rude thing, Mitzi.
Yeah, it tipped me off, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, Lorelai tells her that they talk to him once a week and they see him, you know, at Christmas. And Mitzi asks her if she's married at that point. And Lorelai says, no, it's just me and Rory. And she says, your cat.
Yeah,
she
calls
her. Oh, my gosh.
As if it's her cat.
So, basically, everything out of this woman's mouth is an insult.
She knows that it's Rory's party. She won't be there.
And she says, my daughter.
Yeah, that's my kid over there.
And
right over there.
As I'm sitting here watching this, the first thought that came to my mind after, wow, this lady is so rude, and she's trying to appear like she's not, because to suggest that, you know, Lorelai is still single, unmarried with a cat.
Yeah.
She's trying to say
crazy
she's like an old maid.
Yeah, crazy cat lady.
Yeah. Not that single women with cats are old maids. That's just, personally, I think that that's actually a designation that shouldn't have never been made. You can be single, have a cat, and not be an old maid.
Or crazy.
But for some reason, it became synonymous.
This Mitzi character, she's obviously either obsessed with Christopher in the past, or was his ex, or there's some history there somewhere. Or she longed for him,
agreed.
And she wasn't, and he didn't have nothing to do with her at the time. You know how in the high school, I don't know, but Chris definitely needs a restraining order on her. Lorelai needs to call him right away and say, hey, this Mitzi chick's out to get you, man.
Right. Well, as I was watching
Beware.
This...
Forewarned.
As I was watching this, I was reminded of that SNL skit.
Oh, yeah.
About the girl you wish you hadn't run into at a party.
Yeah.
The clip of it is
obnoxious,
very hard to find now, but
it talks about anything.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
If you can find it somewhere, like on YouTube,
check
you've got to check that out.
Yeah.
SNL, and
definitely.
I think it's called The Girl You Wish You Had Not Run Into at a Party.
She had an occurring, she'd show up in the news.
Yes.
And they're like, okay.
Seth Meyer would interview the girl. Yeah, but oh my gosh, that was hysterical. But anyway, so this lady, Mitzi,
that's
she
exactly
says,
who she is.
Oh, definitely.
But a divorced, on the prowl cougar
she said,
version.
She said, she looks over finally when Lorelai tells her, no, Rory's my daughter. And she points.
Yeah.
The girl looks over and she says, wow, you can really see Christopher in her. She says, does that kill you? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm like, lady, get over it.
Yeah.
Lorelai's had enough. At that point, she decides she's going to get a Ray. And she said, and I would too if
I'm really
her.
Conflicted. I mean, I hate her, but at the same time, it's hilarious. I don't know.
Yeah. But Lori says,
I love to hate it.
Lorelai says, I see someone else. So,
bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. So she goes off and whatever. But that lady killed me. So the next thing that we see at the party is Rory walking up to Richard and a group of him and his colleagues. They're obviously talking shop, you know. As soon as she walks up, every single one of them
this is
reaches
my
into
granddaughter
their...
Rory.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
They all reach into their coat pockets, whip out envelopes and hand it to her.
Loaded.
So she's got, now let's just assume that the average rich man's gift is maybe $200 to $500.
What's the appropriate amount?
Let's say, you know, we were thinking at first maybe $200 if we were rich, but then these guys are mega rich.
Yeah, mega loaded.
So I'm thinking probably each of those would have been at least $500.
At least five.
And she must have gotten about six of them in that moment.
Oh, yeah, bank.
So she just made bank in 2 seconds for walking up.
That begs the question, what does she do with all her money? Because when Lorelai needs money later, she does offer to help, but I think she saved all that money, because what is she really spending on? You know, books maybe? I don't know.
That's about it.
Coffee and books.
Well, Rory's really not that big of a shopper.
No, that's what I'm saying. Coffee and books.
She's a shopper, but you don't see her spending a lot of money.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know if she's putting it in savings or whatever. But anyway, so at that point, Emily comes over
made bank, though.
Did make bank.
That's one good thing about these high society parties.
Yes, indeed. Definitely those high society parties. But at that point, Emily grabs her and says that there's a group of her school friends in the library and that she really should say hello. And Rory automatically says she has to go to the bathroom. Emily will not let her get away,
She's
though.
She's got her talents in there
Emily
already.
Emily will not let
yeah,
her.
You're obligated. Yeah, no. You're going to do it.
She pushes her into the library doorway. She says, here, let me hold those envelopes for you.
Yeah, she's and then trying she, to guide she, her how like society should be.
Right.
Know? But she's not ready for this.
No. So she pushes her into the library door, takes the envelopes, and leaves.
And then she sees the two Carrington brothers standing there.
Right.
And they're like, who is this?
There's a bunch of kids in there. Yeah. She doesn't recognize any of them. I don't recognize any.
No, I never seen him before.
And one of the kids, you know, a guy is obviously answering somebody else.
Yeah, the character brothers,
By saying, I think this is her party. And at that point, she just decides, no, okay, I'm not doing this.
Like,
so
drugs.
She turns around and she leaves the library and runs directly into Paris Geller.
Yeah.
And Paris is immediately like, my mother made me come to this. And
emphatic about it.
She's emphatic about it. And Rory doesn't even want to deal with that. She turns around and starts walking toward the front door. And Paris is yelling after her, you believe me, don't you?
We're not friends.
Yeah.
You know.
She just wants to make that adamantly clear. We are not friends. I didn't come here to be friends. My mom made me.
I read
believe
into
me,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
So as Rory is rushing toward the front door, who should walk in but Tristan? He immediately smirks and makes a comment about how she has come to greet him. How nice.
Yeah.
You know, and about
that sweet.
About that point, Richard comes over. He introduces himself to Richard, and he was like, you're so-and-so's grand boy. And he's like, yes. And he's like, oh, I know him. Good taste, Rory. Good taste
so
in friends.
He equates his status with what we call around here, you're good people. But I don't know about you, but if you're good people, you have to be vetted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But whenever I meet somebody, I am going to get to know them first before I make a determination on what type of person that they are. I'm not going to just say if they happen to be in the upper echelons of society, then they must be good people automatically.
So you're basing it on the content of their character?
Absolutely.
So Martin Luther King Jr. be proud of you?
I hope so. I hope so.
Okay.
So anyway, they continue to banter there at the door. He's, you know, kind of accusing her of having a thing for him. And she's like, I do not. And she decides that she had enough. She runs off to find her mom. And she does find her mom standing with Emily in another room. So Emily immediately says to her that she needs to say a few words to her guests.
Speech.
And Rory's face looks panicked.
Oh, that's the tipping point.
And Emily's like, you know, just a thank you and how it feels to be a year older. And Lorelai, who's standing right there, has been watching Rory's face. And
she tries to interject, mom.
Yeah.
Man, back
she's
up
like,
a little.
Maybe not.
She doesn't do well with speeches.
And
you know?
Emily cuts her off and says, she's the hostess, Lorelai. This is her responsibility.
So at this point, she's had enough being pulled and prodded. And what to
Rory
do.
Rory has had enough.
Yeah.
And she looks at her grandmother and says, she is not the hostess. You are. Even Lorelai's a little surprised by the outburst because she's looking very ticked off. And she says, honey, hold on. You know, kind of like almost protective of Emily, you know.
Yeah.
Of her not being mean to Emily, you know. And she, but Rory won't have any of it. She continues and she says,
well, she doesn't know the whole facts.
She looks at Emily and she says, this is your party, your guests, and I don't want to have anything to do with it, and you need to go and say something, you know, this is your speech, and she storms off. Immediately.
Well, she's embarrassed and butthurt, all the people are looking at her.
Of course.
Yeah.
Emily turns to Lorelai and
tells her. You don't do that in society.
No.
Yeah.
Immediately, she turns to Lorelai and tells Lorelai that her daughter has no manners and she should be ashamed.
She's saving face in front of her friends
at
that point.
And I thought to myself.
That's more about her.
I know. But I thought to myself. myself right before Lorelai says it herself. How did this become about Lorelai, and how did it become Lorelai's fault? And I know, and Lorelai does say, how did this become about me? How did this become my fault?
Yeah.
And I do realize that parents are responsible ultimately for the behavior of their children, but you can train a kid in the right way, in the right manners. But kids, especially teenagers, may have a time when they're going to abandon what you taught them.
Yeah.
And have an outburst like
They react.
That doesn't automatically mean that you didn't teach them right to begin with.
Well, as a teenager, they're going to react emotionally. And, so, you know, and hopefully as they grow, they'll come back to the fold.
Right.
But if, the ways they were trained up.
If that had been me, I would not have assumed automatically that Lorelai didn't teach her well and blame Lorelai. I would have been blaming Rory.
No.
If
I
had been Emily.
She should look at her own raising of Lorelai. She rebelled, but that didn't say how she trained her. You know?
Right.
That didn't speak but the way she brought her up.
To me, I would have blamed the granddaughter. The granddaughter's the one that had the outburst.
I'm sure she enforced those rules and manners on Lorelai before she
rebelled. I'm sure she did. But, and you know that Lorelai taught her well.
Yeah.
You know,
she didn't agree with
the outburst. To be kind
to
people. No, she didn't agree with the outburst.
Goes after her.
She tried to prevent her from doing it. I don't know. I just thought that was unfair of Emily. She automatically always goes back to blaming Lorelai. She didn't blame Rory. And to me, that's where the blame belonged.
Yeah.
Rory's the one who made the outburst. She should have said, Rory has no manners and we should go talk to her about this.
But instead of getting angry, she's like, she will go talk to her about to find out why.
Right. So Lorelai does find Rory in her old room.
Yeah.
In Lorelai's old bedroom.
That's quite the dollhouse, I'll say.
And
that thing was huge.
She finally oh yeah, it was.
Elaborate.
She had a dollhouse, elaborate, huge dollhouse in that room.
That comes into play later too.
She finally caves and tells Lorelai about the guests being invited without her knowledge. And it's not often that you two are at peace, Rory tells her, so she didn't want to ruin that. And I thought that was nice.
Unfortunately, it has to blow up before the secrets come out. She could have just told her mom before, just to let you know.
I know.
Before they went
but
in.
But she's explaining, you know, when Lorelai asks her why.
Maybe
why
her
you
mom
could
have helped her
more
in that conversation.
Right.
If she knew the full facts, what I'm saying.
Well,
why does it always have
true.
To go to that level?
I know.
They tell each other everything.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
You know?
But Lorelai tells her that she shouldn't keep things again.
There is.
And she explains to her that, you know, her last fight she had with them, she was pregnant, you know, because asked her about it.
Yeah.
She said, well, my last fight with them, I was pregnant. She said, I made a comment about the food smelling like Clorox. And she said it was the first time that they looked small to me.
And she ended up in the room where she's at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the same position.
So I kind of liked that Lorelai said that because it was almost like she was acknowledging that she knows that she hurt them.
Yeah. Now I know how it is. And she's like, it's not official till you're huddled up in the corner eating your hair.
Yeah, yeah. I love that reference.
That's some imagery for you, isn't it?
But she asks, so I guess I should go apologize to Grandma. And she says, oh, you can wait a little while.
And there she is at the door.
But then there she walks into the door.
No, it's more like, no, just wait.
Yeah.
And she knew she'd be right there.
Right. She calls both of them rude immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
I love her dismissive attitude here.
Uh-huh. Rory tries right that second to apologize.
Yeah.
And Emily just says, go.
Now she's like, we'll talk about this later.
And
go.
Says, go.
And she looks up and still and all defiant, you know.
As they're leaving, she tries again.
Yeah.
And Emily just calls for Richard and cuts her off again.
Indignant, you know, like.
And poor Richard, he's oblivious to anything that has been happening.
He always is. He comes out smelling like a rose.
He comes over and gives her money, gives her a card of his own with money, and tells her to put it toward Faz.
No, I loved it because he was like, I know per our agreement, Emily and his.
Yeah.
He's like, she usually gets the gift and signs my name. But this is a special occasion, so...
Yeah.
Fez.
He gives her... Yeah. He gives her an envelope and tells her to put it toward Fez.
Yeah.
And Fez is what keeps getting brought up repeatedly through all these shows.
Well,
I think it's funny.
Well, you know they're known for their Medinas. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Would that be Max Medinas?
No, no, okay. No. Just art kind of Medinas.
Okay.
But I thought it was fitting to mention here.
So, Emily...
it's quite impressive.
At the end of the night, you know, it's time for... Everybody's pretty much left. It's all the wait staff still there. And Emily keeps trying to rush them out the door. And Rory busts in and says that they're having a party tomorrow.
Yeah, she's trying to make fences here.
Yeah, she's trying... This
she's
is,
desperately she, attempting to pull it back together.
Emily won't let her apologize, so she's trying to do the next best thing by telling her that they're having a party tomorrow night at their house, and she would really love it if they were to come. And Emily says, that's nice. And they already have plans. happens. And, of course, Rory looks very let down.
Yeah.
And sad. And Lorelai sends her outside alone because, you know, she wants to confront Emily. And because she can see how upset that Rory is, you know. So Lorelai urges her to please come. You know, she says, your granddaughter invited you to her birthday party. Please come.
Yeah.
And Emily says,
like, get over it. Yeah. Do it for your granddaughter. Move on.
And Emily says,
you wanted to build something. You're running it.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And Emily says that she's already been to a party for her granddaughter, and she was humiliated in front of her friends. I have no desire to relive that experience. And Lorelai says, you know, basically, come on, you invited all of these Chilton kids without even asking her. And Emily says, well, they're her classmates. I assume that they were her friends. And Lorelai is like, well, you know what they say when people assume things. And Emily's like, no, what? And Lorelai just kind of looks at her and says, that you shouldn't. Which I thought was kind of funny. And Emily is like, I had to invite them. She said, that's just good manners, something your daughter is lacking. Okay, well, let me say something about that. Number one, no, she didn't have to invite them. How would they know if they were not invited? I mean, I can understand them wanting to invite some of their family friends and business associates that know about Rory and might have met Rory before, things like that. But generally, when you're throwing a party for somebody, unless it's a surprise party and you happen to know who their friends are, you go to them and ask them, can you send me your friends list? Who do you want at the party?
Well, I'll take it a step.
You don't just invite people.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further. There's nothing worse than when you throw a party for someone and then someone catches wind of it that wasn't invited and they invite themselves and then they try to act like they created the party.
Yeah.
Take credit for the party.
Oh yeah, I've seen that happen too.
Party crashers and party takeovers, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we've experienced both of those. And then how did it get turned around on Lorelai?
I don't know. Rory being rude.
That took a turn.
Lorelai's fault.
You know?
Well, and it, you know, it's sad because it's kind of...
And Rory got her first taste of being Gilmore.
It's sad because it kind of put a damper on the budding friendship that was starting.
I told you it was short-lived.
I know, but you can always hope.
This show has to continue on.
I know. But basically, at this point, Lorelai is starting to get a little hot. And she says to her, you're doing the same thing to her that you did to me. She said, you try to control her, and when that doesn't work, you just shut her out.
Yeah, that's the whole Gilmore experience I was talking about. And it was definitely too much too soon. Way too soon.
Right.
To push that onto Rory and Lorelai.
Right. And then Emily says she'll talk about it tomorrow, and she'll get Lorelai some post-its so that she can write down her insults. And not forget them. And Lorelai's like, I have a crushed kid out in the car. And Emily's like, well, what do you want me to say? Everything's fine. It's forgotten there.
What's her obsession with the post-its? She got stock in it.
I don't know.
Because she was using it to tag her death items. And now,
I know.
Now it's hers.
But she wants Lorelai to write down her insults so that way she doesn't forget them. And Lorelai's like,
I just thought that was funny.
Lorelai's like, you know, when she says that she's got a crush, get out in the car. You know, she's like, well, what do you want me to say? Everything's fine. It's forgotten. There you go. Like, that's going to make everything okay. I hate it when people do that.
Yeah, that's her turning it around on us.
There's somebody I know very, very well that likes to pull that one. Where you're arguing about something and they're like, fine, I'm sorry. Is that what you want to hear? I'm sorry.
He wouldn't be sitting beside you, would he?
You know, he might be. So... But that's something I cannot stand. I'm one of those people that when something's
just move
going
on, baby. Come on.
Oh no, I can't. It's not in my
let's get
makeup.
Over it. Move on.
Something is wrong, I'm one of those people that I like to talk it out.
Yeah.
And I like to get it out in the open and then move past it that way.
No bygones.
I don't like when somebody just wants to cut it off.
Move on.
Just for the sake of cutting it off because they don't want to endure it. You know.
You want to live in the past then?
No, I don't want to live in the past. I want to get through the argument.
You want some closure.
I want closure. Okay. And I want to be able to talk it out, get to the end of it, and say we both feel good about how this ended.
Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
All right.
But you do not do that.
Well,
and apparently, neither does Emily.
Oh.
So, you know, Lorelai says,
wow.
I guess the whole pudding thing was just a fluke. Trying to get to know us, easing up on the rules a little bit, you know, smudging that bottom line. It was just some weird, you know, phase, I guess. What, you were on cold medicine last week or something? And Emily's like, so I'm a villain now. I spent a fortune on this party. Spent days planning it, making sure every little detail was perfect. And she starts listing off a bunch of things that she did and all this stuff that she put together and planned and whatever. And she said, I did all of this for Rory. And Lorelai's like, but that's not what she needs, Mom. What she needs is for you to accept her apology and come to her party. But you don't care about what she needs. You don't even know what she needs because you don't know her. You never tried to know her, just like you never knew me. And I thought, ooh, wow, burn. And Emily said, you'd like to think that, wouldn't you? That you're just some huge mystery to me. Why does Lorelai do that? I don't know. She's a mystery to me. Well, you're not that mysterious. And, I mean, Emily is, like, yelling at the staff at this point. She's been watching Lorelai the whole time, but has a moment to turn around and scream at the staff to make sure that they're putting the cheese slices into individual baggies. And I thought that was really funny, because how would she even know what they're doing behind her?
Well, some of them weren't doing it, but yeah, I could see that.
I didn't see that they weren't doing it.
I saw one of them grab a bag and start putting
it. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, apparently she's got eyes in the back of her head then.
Or she just expects them not to obey her commands.
So Lorelai at that point says, okay, I give up. And Emily's like, oh, you give up. If I had a dollar for every time you gave up. And Lorelai was like, yeah, then you could pay for this party, couldn't you? And at that point,
powerful disappointment.
She leaves. Right after she says that line, Lorelai gets this look on her face. And it's the look had been building during her tirade where she was telling Emily how she felt. But it was a sad look. It had hurt. And she was watery-eyed. And then she just walks out. Well, I mean, what did you think of that part?
She's used to them being disappointed in her. What can you do with that?
I know.
She's frustrated.
To me, I almost felt, too, like she was... I had a shining moment earlier with this woman. We were having...
What could have been?
A nice time together. I got to see a small little piece of what it might be. Yeah. You know, it was almost like she felt like we were starting to forge something here. And I see that it can never be. And there was so much regret on her face.
Hope to hopelessness.
Yes.
In a second.
Yes, absolutely.
It turned on a dime.
So, the next morning we pan to the house and Suki is at the kitchen table. Lorelai walks in. It looks like she just woke up, but they talk about, you know, Rory going to the college fair. That's where Rory's at. And Suki asks Lorelai, hangover? And Lorelai says, Emily.
Might as well be.
And Suki's like,
she's drained from her encounters with Emily, her bouts.
So, I guess looking like you have a hangover is the same as being
around
Emily.
Yeah, you equate that to that,
And Suki he's like, oh. So, that was a very short scene, but it was funny, and
that's
impactful.
That's just to show you the impact of what their fights do to her.
Right. So, then we pan over, and we're at Chilton. Rory is next to the Harvard booth. Who should walk up? Paris Geller.
Yeah.
And she asks, what is she doing there? And then, at that point, they look at each other, and they both realize that they both want to go to Harvard.
Oh, no.
And Rory's... You know, Rory says that this is her big school. You know, it's a big...
I've always dreamed of going here.
And then she says, it's a big school. We'll probably never see each other.
And Paris is like, my whole family's gone to Harvard. I have to go to Harvard.
Right. And Rory's about to leave because Paris seems to have kind of backed down a little bit. Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah.
It is a big place. We might never see each other. And then she stops her and asks her, does she like Tristan?
But she doesn't want her to take everything from her. She's going to take her Chilton. She's going to take her Harvard. At least give me Tristan.
Right.
Can I get Tristan?
Right. So she asks her if she likes Tristan, and Rory's like, no. And she says, there's nothing going on there. And she's like, no. And Paris is like, nice party.
Yeah, and she turns and smiles a little bit. Then she turns back and is like, nice party. And then she turns back and smiles again. So you got a feeling that there could be some...
So is there some thawing going on?
They're still enemies, but there could possibly be a frenemy situation building there.
Or beginning at the very least.
If maybe she can help me get Tristan. I don't know. There's some things going on there with Paris.
So here we are. Finally, at the Saturday night party, the day after Rory's birthday, which is the real
legitimate
birthday. The party is loud with lots of music.
It's
the town
lit.
Folks are there. Yeah, everything looks relaxed and fun.
Yeah.
It's the kind of party I'd have preferred to go to. No offense to Richard and Emily. I mean, that was a lovely, lovely party. But it's the kind of thing that you have to dress up for and put on very
it's not
nice
relaxed,
clothes
comfortable,
for. Yeah.
Laid back like a party should be.
Right.
For me personally, too.
Yeah. And if anybody likes that kind of party and that's the kind of party you'd prefer,
kudos to you.
More power to you. I'm not knocking anybody that enjoys
that. Put on the
party.
Dog and be swaying. That's not my cup of tea.
It's fine, but generally for me, that'd be the kind of thing that I'd be like, I can't wait until I can get home so I can take these clothes off and get into something comfortable.
Be out on the lake or something, have some good food, watermelon, something like that.
Yeah, let's barbecue. You know?
relax, enjoy yourself.
Rory is opening up her gift from Lorelai, and it is a laptop, which I thought that was kind of interesting. I will make one remark here about this. Shopping with Emily, she wants her to buy her $12 plastic light-up bracelets, but she got her a laptop. So, I don't think that she was trying to sabotage Emily.
She didn't want
to
be showing up, though.
I don't know, though.
I think she wanted her to get a nice gift from her.
Yeah, but
I... You've been there, too. But you didn't want somebody to get something nicer. You wanted to get a nice gift.
That is very true.
But you wanted it to be something they related to and enjoyed at the same time.
But I don't know that Lorelai was actually trying to...
Maybe subconsciously.
...do that. Maybe subconsciously, but not consciously. At that point, you know, Suki brings out the birthday cake for Rory to blow up the
candles. With her picture on it?
And it has basically got Rory's face on the...
But
on
I did want to point out that I did notice somebody...
Oh, Lord.
I thought somebody was dead in the background. And it turned out to be Michelle.
Michelle was sitting in a chair with one of those little pointed birthday hats on his head.
On further,
looking miserable.
On further inspection, he was on his cell phone with his hat turned sideways, pants on the ground. No, I just... But yeah, he was definitely being disinterested in the whole scenario.
Yeah, he did not want to be there.
Flippant, yeah. But deep down, I do think he did want to be there. Because what else would he be doing?
Right.
I mean, maybe he wasn't on the phone with anybody. Maybe he was just talking to someone, you know?
He likes to protest, but if he ever gets left out of something, he gets upset.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think he actually does want to be there.
Yeah.
He just wants to be seen as protesting
first. It was a little
too
obvious to me.
So,
I wanted to grab that phone and say, who are you talking to?
After Rory blows out the candles, you know, Lorelai stands up to make a speech, and she gets everybody's attention. And as soon as they're all quiet, she says, okay, this is a big night. And then she says, two priests, a rabbi, and a duck. And that's all she can get out before the whole room is laughing. You know, so I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny. But then she does kind of say something about Rory, you know, gives her a nice, short, sweet little speech that I thought was really cool. She's the best friend a person could have, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but then she's like, let's get this party
going.
Ooh, and then
there's somebody
at the door.
Doorbell rings. And Lorelai just kind of yells out,
come on in.
You know, whatever. Who the ringing the bell?
Yeah.
It's a party. Get your ass in here. Yeah. And Richard and Emily walk in.
It reminds me of Adventures in Babysitting when they go in the blues club. It just gets silent.
Yes.
And everybody's like, what?
The whole place goes utterly silent.
But I don't see them singing the blues to get
out of there. Rory looks so happy.
It was a buzzkill moment.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But Rory, as soon as everybody catches their breath, Rory looks so happy that they're there.
Yeah.
And she goes up and starts hugging them, thanking them for coming. She shows Emily that she's wearing the bracelet that she got her. So Lorelai did give her something to get Rory that Rory
she liked
loved.
It, yeah.
So I guess it was good, you know. Then Lorelai walks up.
I like this.
And she greets them too, and she says,
she's giving her the cold shoulder.
Emily, Dad.
She made a point to stress Dad.
Yeah.
You know, she's getting at Emily right there.
And I thought, ooh, that's a first. Calling her by her name, Emily.
She's giving it to her.
And I thought, wow, you know, that's a big statement. She doesn't do it again for the rest of the party. She refers to her as Mom. But that first moment, I don't know why she did that, to be honest.
She was getting it to her.
I don't know.
Rubbing that in that she's displeased with how she treated
Rory. I guess
you
that's
know, you've
the
been
way.
There too. Don't treat my daughter bad. I'm going to give it to you
a little bit. That's true. I will tell you this.
You're going to get my ride.
If somebody treats one of my kids bad, I don't care if you're right.
You're going to have to step off.
I'm going to defend them to the ground.
Step off, George.
Well, I've done it many a time.
I've witnessed a few times.
Somebody has said something about one of my kids, and I do not care if you are right. I don't care if the kid act like they were crazy mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to debate you to the ground. You're not going to talk about my kid that way.
To a lesser degree, you to me, but I know how to tread lightly about that subject.
Well,
now.
I mean, after it's all said and done, that person's gone, I might go around to my kid and go, what the heck were you thinking?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't, that's me telling my kid.
But I've seen the full wrath.
On people.
Other people.
Oh, on other people?
Yeah.
But that's me telling my kid, and I should be able to do that. But I don't want somebody talking smack about my kids.
The mama bear came out, what?
People do not get to talk smack about my kids. No way.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Miss Patty comes up.
Yo, Miss Patty.
And Richard's vibing,
yes.
Boy. He passed the vibe check.
She, yeah. He sure did. She introduces herself and she says, "We just love your daughter and granddaughter." And she's so sweet and sincere about it, you know. Man. And she flirts with Richard.
Tall specimen. And of a man.
You're and such a tall specimen. And Richard's back there
cheesing, boy. He's like, "Yeah, but." Yeah.
Richard is definitely ham cheesing it.
Yeah,
up.
He's vibing.
He's grinning ear to ear at the end of that. But it's
Do we
want to
talk about Miss Patty?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Miss Patty.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Miss Patty has been in almost every episode up till now, but we've not really had the chance to give the lowdown on Miss Patty, so yeah.
Yeah, of course, she's Liz Torres.
Oh, yeah.
Who plays her. Mm-hmm. And she's best known for, of course, Miss Patty. That's my girl. But,
yeah, I love Miss Patty.
And currently for Monica on One Day at a Time. She's a Bronx girl. Her parents immigrated from Puerto Rico.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
She now lives in L.A. She's a member of the board of directors of Right Act Repertory.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she was working the nightclub circuit with her friend Bette Midler.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and her career really took off after she got a spot on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, stand-up spot.
I miss Johnny Carson.
He was great. And I did not know that.
No, I didn't either. But no, nobody after Johnny Carson was ever as good to me.
No, they didn't have that magic.
No.
I love the Swami, you know, the genie thing he did.
Oh, Lord, all the things he would do. Yeah.
I always try to connect everybody I profile with the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
So, my Gilmoring led me to, she worked with Sally Struthers on All in the Family. I kind of knew that as Teresa, where they became friends. So, there's a connection there.
Oh, and we did watch some old clips of the show.
I was showing you some
YouTube.
And
it was so cool to see that again after so many years. But go ahead.
And here's a connection to Edward Herman. I'm stretching here, you know. She played Morticia in the musical Addam Family Funhouse. And, of course, I mentioned Herman Munster. Yeah, that was a little bit of a stretch.
Right.
But I tried to connect it here. What I found interesting was a little tidbit here. In 1975, she recorded a disco single, Hustle Latino.
Yeah.
And appeared on Dick Clark's American Bandstand to perform it in an interview. I showed you a little bit of that
interview. That interview was very interesting, and you got to see a lot of her personality.
Yeah. She received 2 Primetime Emmy Awards for her outstanding supporting actress in a comedy series for the John Larroquette Show. And she's had a plethora, big word there, of shows.
That's a $5 word.
Yeah. Including, but not limited to, Starsky and Hutch, Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law, Knott's Landing, Mama's Family, one of my favorites, The Ally McBeal Show, The Nanny, Quantum Leap, love that, Ugly Betty, Desperate Housewives, Private Practice, Scandal, and on and on.
Dude, there's not a single one of those that I have not heard of.
Devious Maids.
Except that one.
Awkward.
You Awkward finally family, did one. You were going good there for a while, and you said that
like
one.
I said, it goes on and on. I mean, I'm not even mentioning her movies.
Long, illustrious career.
Yeah, fascinating.
Very fascinating.
Once again.
These people are all very fascinating.
Very
talented.
Multi-talented. Yes.
Definitely, wow.
I had no clue.
And, of course, you know, I know that we have not featured our main characters yet, but they are coming.
We have a long series to go.
Yeah, we do. So
and we
got to
catch
plenty
people
of time.
On their way in and out, too, because there's some people that don't stick around long. They go on to, you know, illustrious careers.
Right.
They get their start here.
We'll highlight people when it makes the best sense to highlight them at that time.
I thought that was fitting timing.
It is. Because Miss Patty's been in just about every episode up to now, and it was just time.
It's always a treat when she shows up.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so at this part in the party, after Richard and Emily, they've talked to them for a couple minutes. Yeah. Lorelai offers wine to Emily, but she wants liquor instead. So
yeah,
I'm like,
orders
oh, okay.
Fancy drink up.
So Lorelai goes into the kitchen where Suki is in there working on food and stuff, and she tells her that her parents are here. And Suki's like, "When's the last time they were here?"
Yeah,
and Lorelai's like,
face.
Lorelai's like, "Never."
Yeah, her expression.
And Suki's face is just priceless. It says, like, WTF and are you kidding me all at the same time. Yeah, and Lorelai says, well, you know, they visited at the inn when we were living there, but other than that, no, they've never been to this house.
Yeah, that speaks a lot to the relationship.
Yeah, it really does. But one thing that I noted down on this particular part, is this a continuity issue? Because I know that we're kind of spoiling a little bit here, but there is a later episode. I don't know if it's later in this season or in the second season, but Rory is taking Emily around, showing her the inn. And she takes them to the very large kind of garden. garden shed that had been converted into kind of like a little apartment, and that's where they had lived when they were at the inn. And then
she
her
can't
mom,
handle it.
And Emily is just
she can't handle it.
She can't take it.
She can't deal. We'll get into that. But
yeah, we will get into that later.
I have my own thoughts on that.
But because
like they probably didn't show her that room. They staged a hotel room. Maybe I don't know because she was cool with the owner.
But I just kind of wondered if it was a continuity problem because she's saying that they visited her at the inn, implying that they would have seen where they lived. But in the later episode, you find that Emily had never seen that place, or she would have had that thing sooner.
Well, this show isn't big on continuity. Some points. I mean, they were going winging as they went along, kind of like us with this podcast.
I just thought it was worth. I just
thought it was worth mentioning.
Yes. Yeah. I'll leave that alone now.
We'll get to it.
At that point, Emily walks in, and she's wanting to know who the caterer is because the food is delicious. And Lorelai introduces Suki as the inn's chef, and Emily says that she'll have to cater her next party. When my friends get wind of you, you'll have so much business you won't know what to do with yourself. But remember, I discovered
she discovered her.
And Lorelai's like, Suki has a job. She's the chef at the inn. She says, my inn, where we work together 6 days a week. And she looks at Suki and says, just give her your number or we're never going to get out of here.
She could get somebody to cover on the weekend. She make some extra bank, maybe.
Then, of course, there's more party going on. And Suki comes up to Lorelai and says, don't panic, but we're out of ice. And Lorelai's like, okay, fine, I'll go get some.
Richard's examining the chimney. She goes in there.
Oh, yeah.
She goes in there, and Richard, he's not mingling. He's doing insurance investigating. He's like, this chimney isn't sound. I'd have that checked out.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, he's being his insurance person.
He's all business, you know.
Right.
That's his element.
So Lorelai's about to walk out the door, and who should walk in but Lou carrying two bags of ice.
Yeah, the Iceman coming.
And And I thought that was just kind of cool that he actually brought ice to the party, you know. And she throws her arms around him and says, you're the best. And Emily just happens to be...
She's observing the whole thing.
Yes. Emily, it pans over and you see that Emily is kind of observing that whole thing.
And this is my friend. This is Luke.
Right. So she introduces Luke and Emily kind of greets him in her kind of cool, collected way. And, Emily kind of eyes him and then...
Suki peeks around the corner and she's like, look, Suki, he brought ice. And Suki's like, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah, but I said hallelujah.
Right.
Yeah. Then they go off in there.
Then it pans outside because Richard is sitting on their front deck. And Rory goes up to her grandfather, and she gives him a magazine.
I'm not sure what it was.
But
she says
it's not, you know, a newspaper, but she said there's a quiz in there that you can take to determine if you're a summer or a fall.
Reminds me of all those quizzes y'all take. How to know if a guy likes you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
I don't take them, but
I've seen them.
But she leaves him out there, and he's kind of looking
at the magazine. Discover your season, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
He's looking at the magazine, very interested, you know. And then it goes back inside. They're all kind of sitting around, and Lorelai sees Emily go upstairs.
Because she's out of her element. Everybody's talking about how their memories of Rory, and she don't have any.
Exactly.
So she feels out of pace, awkward, so she goes, I'm just going to go upstairs.
Right.
I'm going to retreat.
So Lorelai follows her up there.
Or is she investigating to get to know her? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I think that it might partly be what you said.
Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Because they're talking about all these memories of Rory's childhood.
Yeah. I would feel out of place if I was in her shoes.
She doesn't have anything to contribute.
She don't
all
relate.
She can do is sit there and
she
listen.
She don't know.
And some may argue, well, that's Lorelai's fault for not letting, you know, but...
That bridge goes both ways.
It does.
And you need to be open or you got to deal with the consequences. You can't regret it then at that point.
Right.
If you tried and the other doesn't...
Reciprocate.
Then you get what you have.
Yes. So Lorelai follows her up there and she's in Lorelai's room and she's kind of looking and examining a blanket and Lorelai said that she'd made that out of Rory's old baby clothes. And Emily says it's nice. And if she could have just left it
She can't
there,
give a good compliment.
But she couldn't leave it there. She had to follow that up with, I hope you washed it first.
Yeah, she can't just give a compliment.
And Lorelai, of course, quips back that, she knew she'd forgotten something. So.
She just goes with it at this point.
Emily seemed to actually kind of smile slightly at that.
Yeah.
Then she starts asking Lorelai questions. And she says, quite an assortment of characters.
Yeah.
characters you've assembled down there. And I just thought, you know, okay, so you mean average people are
real
characters
yeah.
to you? You know, because those are just average people down
Not
there.
The
general people. I'm one. You're one. Emily's saying that those people, you're just a regular person, that you're a character.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Lorelai says they're great people. And she first asks about Patty. And she says she teaches dance. So Lorelai answered her there.
That's
and
the,
then,
that's the thrower off. She, yeah. Here's the real question. Right?
Yeah, that was just to get Lorelai
Relax
talking.
Her to get her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know about that.
Then
being
she,
finesse,
then she
don't
come,
you?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Being worked, yeah.
I know how people do trying to work me.
It's never a simple
no.
Yes or no. It's a leading to something.
They lead up to it. They get you going.
Lower your defenses.
It's kind of like when you're... It's kind of like the lie detector test that people give.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they ask you those simple, benign questions like, is your favorite color orange? Is your name blah, blah, blah? They get you loosened up and get you going.
Lower your
then
defenses.
Then they
let
start to
down,
hit you
yeah.
with the heavier questions. So, yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. Because
I think she
very,
worked for the CIA or something.
She might have. Maybe she knew Jack Burns from Meet the Parents or Meet
I'm everywhere,
yeah.
Fokker.
Yeah.
I'm watching
so,
you.
After she gets out the question and gets her talking about Miss Patty, then she hits her with the big one. So, who's the man with the ice?
Ice man, yeah.
Because you knew she'd been eyeballing that situation
oh,
downstairs
yeah.
when it
yeah.
was happening.
She found that very
And Lorelai says, oh, you know, that's Luke, my friend Luke. And yeah. she said, how long have you been seeing him? I thought this was very interesting. And I'll get more into that
and
in
she,
a second.
And she kind of blushes and denies
but
it.
Yeah,
and
Lorelai, get, Lorelai gets a look on her face. It's like a blush, kind of cutesy grin, giggle thing. I know I'm being very descriptive there, but I'm just trying to describe this look.
You have to picture this. If you've seen it, you
And
grow.
She says, I'm not seeing Luke. He's just a friend.
Yeah, she's like, mm-hmm.
And as you said, Emily said, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And Lorelai says, Mom, I swear, Luke keeps me in coffee, nothing else.
Yeah, right.
Then
she
and
goes,
I
she
thought
continues.
I thought at first, you know, you could take a double meaning on that.
Yeah.
You know, Luke keeps me in coffee, but yeah. nothing else.
Like, too.
I said, yeah. around with Luke's house.
She's definitely
with,
got a hot butt.
A cup
tell you
of
that
coffee
much.
And nothing else on.
I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
She's got steamed up there.
Yeah.
A few times.
And Emily says, he seems to like you. And she's got a sort of grin on her face. Emily does. And Lorelai says, and you're judging that by what? And Emily's like, by the way he looked at you.
Yeah, there's nothing like a big steaming cup of Luke there.
Yeah. And Lorelai was like, which was how? And Emily says, like you were about to give him a lap dance.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's face, number one, is embarrassed. Her eyes closed. She's looking away, kind of to the right and then to the left, with this grin on her face at the same
yeah.
time. She looks
she's
really...
She's flustered.
She's flustered, yeah. but giddy and smiling. Yeah, all of those
I,
things
am I
put
the only
together.
One that's going to question Emily's character there? How she know about lap dance? Come on now.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's supposed to be this upper, you know, part of society. Come
yeah.
on. But that's beneath them.
She's not living under a rock.
Well, yeah, I know, but come
but
on
But then Emily looks at her and says, with a tiny smile on her face, she says, you're pleased.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's like, what? And she says, you're pleased that the Iceman looked at you like a porterhouse steak.
I like that one.
And Lorelai keeps that silly grin on her face, and she says, I'm smiling because you're crazy. She said, and that's what you do to crazy people to keep them calm.
Yeah.
Okay, is it just me?
So, Emily...
Or is that the dumbest thing to say?
Well, Emily...
Clearly, she's covering up that she is pleased.
Emily's telling her he's like a caveman, wanting some steak, you know, and she's wanting that steaming cup of coffee.
Yeah. But I mean, clearly, Lorelai is pleased.
Yeah, she's pleased.
Very pleased, but she's trying to deny it.
She's lying to herself.
She's lying to herself. She's lying to Emily. She doesn't want to admit it.
She's already asked about what Roy would think. Roy's opinion matters. So
yeah.
I think she's let that go a little bit because of Roy's reaction.
There are times when I actually think this is a very confident woman. Why doesn't she just go up to Luke and ask him out? You know? I mean, it goes both ways.
We'll see about that, yeah.
Then Emily walks over and picks up a picture off of Lorelai. Big
dress,
and she's wearing a cast in the picture on her leg, and she says that happened 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And Emily said that she never knew that she broke her leg.
I didn't know you broke your leg.
Yeah, and Lorelai says, well, you know, it's no big deal. She said, if I'd really been sick, you'd have known.
All right.
Emily just says, yeah.
Speaking of that picture, I gotta share this. You know how Lorelai looked all... I mean, I didn't expect her to look chipper, but she looked really over the top playing the whole I'm down, depressed. How did this
in
happen to me? Yes, her face. That reminds me of you had to get your ID taken at SeaWorld.
Oh, God.
And you had had... It had been raining. You were in a slicker. You had stomach issue. You had seen the medic.
No, I didn't just had a stomach issue. I felt sick as a dog, my stomach.
Well, I had seen the medic. I was pushing the wheelchair around because you couldn't walk, really. And so... You had to you had to take your ID first.
Well, we were getting rained out.
Yeah,
so
no
they were actually going to let us all come back the next day if they took your picture on this special paper that was like a return pass.
Yes,
so
exactly.
They had to take my picture.
So they took your ID, and that picture reminded me of that face. Well, and I kept it for years. I think I eventually got...
Well, it was made out of paper, so
it got deteriorated, but I had to throw it away. But yeah, that picture just made me think of your face in that picture.
I did. Look miserable.
It was horrible.
I looked like somebody who was in terrible pain.
And the next day you had to stay in when the weather cleared up.
Yes, the weather cleared up.
And the kids and I went.
That picture was for nothing because I had to sleep in because I was still sick the next day.
Of course, they wanted to go back ride the rides.
Now, by the time y'all got home and I was able to wake up, I felt fine.
Yeah, we were able to go out and get something to eat, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, this was weird.
I guess it was just a quick little bug.
24-hour bug or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but that was just funny when I saw that picture. I was like, hey, look at you, babe.
Well, it wasn't funny for me at the time, but yeah, I get where you're going with that. So at that point, you know, Emily just kind of tells her that she should really get a maid in here every now and then. She says it.
Can't help herself.
She can't just be nice. But the only thing that Lorelai says is that it was nice that she came. She said it meant a lot to Rory. And there was almost like a pause there.
It meant a lot to her too. But she wouldn't pick up that quilt. She's like, just leave it.
Emily says, she's my granddaughter after all. I should be here. And Lorelai said, I totally agree. And at that point, you know, she says that she needs to go and find Richard.
Yeah.
And so she does. She goes out there and tells Richard, you know, that, okay, it's time for us to go.
Well, Richard was getting in touch with his feminist idea.
Yes, he was definitely working the magazine.
What'd you find out? You winner or whatever it was.
Well,
like,
so no, Rory and Lorelai follow her outside. They say they're about to leave, and Lorelai makes some mention of, well, the mud wrestling starts here in about 10 minutes, you know, or something, you know. One of her Lorelai-isms. And Richard gets up and tells Rory, this was good reading material.
He had read the whole magazine.
And then he says, I am an autumn.
Well, she asks him, what'd you find out? And he's like, well, surprisingly, I'm autumn. And he's all dignified about it. She's like, oh, that's interesting. He's like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then told Lorelai, did you have a good time? And he's like, you should really have that chimney inspected.
Yeah.
He's still thinking about it.
And Emily looks at Lorelai and says, we had a lovely time. And Lorelai says, and with a straight face, you say that. So at that point, Rory and Lorelai go back inside. Richard and Emily are getting into their car.
Well, no, wait. I think he also, right before he leaves,
he gives
out another envelope.
Yes.
And he's like, for Fez. And she's like, you already done that. And he's like, it's a large city.
Yeah. But that's funny.
So Richard's had some gems in this one.
She gets two checks for Fez.
Yeah, and they're probably like $1,000 each or something.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
Or two.
They're in the car. Richard is kind of buckling his seatbelt. Emily's just kind of sitting there, just being very stone-faced and quiet. And finally, she doesn't even look at Richard, and she says, she's right. She says, I don't know my daughter at all.
Now, the tables are on the other foot, because she looks defeated.
Most
times,
she does.
It's Lorelai looking defeated. But it's like I said, it's that two-way street.
Yeah.
You got to have that open communication.
Yes.
Somebody's got to be trying. Otherwise,
but
there's nothing.
But here's the thing. For a split second, I think to myself, oh, is she going to actually learn a lesson here and start really reaching out to Lorelai?
Well, she didn't say her granddaughter.
She said her daughter. Not Rory.
Yes.
Her daughter.
I wanted to point that out.
Because Lorelai had accused her of not knowing Rory and not knowing her. But she didn't make any mention, like you said, of Rory. She honed in on the, she's right, I don't know my daughter at all. And I really thought, is this a growth moment? And Richard is looking over her, and he actually looks kind of concerned.
Yeah.
But for a split second, I thought, yes.
He took it in.
Maybe some growth. And then immediately she said, we should go.
Well,
traffic.
And
she starts buckling her seatbelt.
Well, you know when your significant other is hurting, you know? So.
Yeah. But I just thought, wow, you can't stay vulnerable for any longer than 5 seconds.
She's not one to show her emotions, really. That was a big thing for her.
She
learned, saying that out
she
loud.
Learned something, but
yeah.
Will she do a thing with it? I don't think so.
No. Because you have to keep up appearances.
Right.
That's what you do.
So then we pan in and it's Suki and Lorelai in the kitchen and obviously everyone's gone and they're cleaning up. Suki leaves. Lorelai looks out the window and she sees Rory with Dean.
Now I'm going to give Dean a pass on this. I know I've been saying he's stalking, but actually he was giving her space even at her party. So he approached her evidently outside.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to give him a pass this time. He's been doing the right thing. I've been liking this episode. Let's continue.
Yeah, so Lorelai watches as through the window, but it kind of takes us outside. The perspective changes.
She's viewing them.
Yeah, but you know that Lorelai's watching from the window, but we are outside now with Dean and Rory. And he's giving her a bracelet that he made for her. So he actually made her a bracelet. He explained to her how he made it, and he ties it on her, and Rory apologizes for sneaking, and she says that she just hasn't had a chance to tell her mother about you yet.
Maybe that's why he's keeping his distance, but remind me, does she ever wear Emily's bracelet again, or is it always
I never see her wear Emily's bracelet again.
Okay, so it's Dean's from here on out.
Oh, for sure.
So you know Emily notices that too.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know that gets to her.
But he puts it on her, and then after he finishes putting it on her, he holds the hand that he put it on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
it's a little romance button there.
Yeah, it was a sweet gesture. I thought it was really nice.
Homemade birthday gift.
Homemade birthday cake.
Gift.
After,
get the
after tying
later.
It on there, he just kind of turns his hand underneath hers and then holds it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very sweet. But Lorelai, it pans back to her, and she looks shocked and a little disturbed.
Well, it's all coming out now.
And that's
how the mysterious guy. I met him at the party, the wake, and now I'm seeing who this guy is.
Yes.
So she lied to me.
That's how the episode ends. Yeah, so that was kind of a really abrupt ending, a very big cliffhanger.
Yeah, quite.
So, yeah, quite. There we go.
That's become a thing at this house now.
Yeah, it is a thing. And it's a thing now. All right, so do we want to talk about Scott's podcast?
Yes, one-on-one he did. It was between episode 5 and 6. We touched on that a little bit with Scott versus Scott.
Yeah,
the
Scott Patterson versus Cohen.
I'll get it right here. I keep wanting to call him Luke and Max. So, yeah, they call it the therapy sessions in between episodes. I think that's kind of funny because they both kind of do need therapy after that.
Yeah.
But anyways, Scott Cohen, Max, I'm going to get it straight. He had the perspective that the writers didn't give him something to think about besides pursuing her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a cop-out a little bit myself. But
no offense to Scott Cohen. But
yeah, then he goes on to goad Scott Patterson a little bit, saying he worked with Lauren on Law & Order, and he mentioned he had touched her a lot before Gilmore Girls. So this was going on way before Gilmore Girls.
And bear in mind, we've had like 3 episodes where this whole jealousy that Scott Patterson and / Luke has for Scott Cohen / Max Medina has been building over 3 episodes. And then we finally have this showdown, and they're having a showdown.
Yeah.
You know, who was better, Luke or Max?
He did mention he admired Cohen's jazz piano playing skills, and he respected that he personally would have quit Chilton for Lorelai. He did say that, but...
Oh, Patterson said that?
No, Cohen said he would have quit, so, and he appreciated that, but he still wanted to throttle him.
Yeah.
So I did find the rapid fire questions outstanding. They were hilarious and serious. He touched on his 9/11 experience. His family was in New York, Cohen's, and how he couldn't get to them. During the Gilmore Girls, that's when 2001, when it was going on. He could smell snow, by the way. That was
he's the second person. The first person was Shelley, who played Madeline.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny though because he was her crush.
Yeah.
And the two of them two of them are the only ones that so far who can smell snow.
And he played her daddy in that show.
Yeah,
you know, that's true. We don't want to get into that again. And Scott was happy he got a much needed break from Max on the upcoming episode.
Yeah.
So we're moving on to the Will You Marry Me episode 6. He's appreciating the break from Max because he's like, I'm getting a little heated there. I need to step back a little bit. He agreed with us on that. But they had a interesting discussion about Emily and Richard's dynamic, and he did a little Gilmoring of his own. And he went into researching the heritage of the Gilmores, and he found out that it's a Scottish Viking heritage, explaining his height.
That would explain a little bit.
Yeah, and the temperament. Yeah, everything like that.
Well, Vikings were known for kind of being conquerors, but they would also, that's where the term, I think, berserker kind of comes into play.
Going berserk,
because they would fight to the point of going berserk.
Bloodlust. And I thought that was interesting about Emily and Richard because, you know, we never meet Emily's parents. They talked about that a little bit. You kind of always wonder what's going on there.
Yeah.
Her grandparents.
Why do you never see her parents?
I mean, we almost didn't meet Richard. I mean, yeah, because she was supposedly dead, but she
they
comes
did
back
eventually
around.
Bring her in.
Yeah, but I think it's the writers not wanting to broach that subject because you know Emily's based on Amy's mother, Mabon Hughes.
Yes, but I kind of really wish that they had because it would have given you maybe a little bit of insight into why Emily is the way she is.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. Were her grandparents better or is that a depiction, Emily and Richard, a depiction of her grandparents through Rory? I don't know. That subject is definitely off limits for some reason. Tried to do some research on her grandparents. I couldn't find much. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot. But her mother did appear in season 1, episode 9 as the yoga woman one. You know, where Dean and Rory are sleeping. They get caught sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Patty's dance studio. There you go, again, tying into the dance.
Would that be awkward?
Yeah.
Because Amy Sherman-Palladino did say that she had patterned...
She's open about that.
Emily Gilmore after her own mother. And if that's the case, then would it be awkward for her to have her mother play even a cameo in the show?
Well, the yoga one... Well, she did say that her mother wasn't too pleased with her giving up dancing to go into writing and TV shows and movies and such.
So kind of like...
Emily there's a little disappointment there.
Emily doesn't approve of Lorelai's life
how
choices.
She went to do her own thing. Yes, I thought that was interesting. So I'm just scratching the surface. There's a lot. It's like the iceberg in the Titanic. The deeper you get, I'm sure there's a lot to be revealed.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find much on the grandparents. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Yes. I'm not going to digress. Let's move forward. Luke went on to say...
God.
There I go again. Luke Scott Patterson went on to say they were asking him about his grumpiness. You know how he's always grumpy.
Yeah.
But you call it just them. That's their bantering. And you thought this influenced
that's
me
just his
on the show.
That's just his personality in general.
Yeah, but you thought it influenced me watching the show. But he was talking about he actually heard from somebody that I can't take you seriously. You don't have even make $50,000 a year. Somebody actually said that to him before he was famous.
Oh.
A woman, of course. Oh. And that he took that into his character a little bit. I don't fit into their world. They look down on me. They make fun of me. That's why he didn't approach the subject of dating her, being with her.
He thought he was beneath her.
Yes, and there's a little of that going on and a little of them looking down on him. It's his personal take on it, but I think the writers just need the show to continue myself. But there is a history there. 16 years, and it took 20 years, 4 seasons, for them to actually get together. And he's like, am I ever going to be good enough?
Major spoiler there.
Am I ever going to be good enough? Because you date all these other people, but anyone but me.
Yeah.
That's how he was feeling. Anyways, so
that's actually a statement that another character in the show makes to Lorelai.
Yes.
Later on in this season, I think.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. But he continued a little bit of his, I thought this was funny, a little bit of his inner Luke came out. And he voiced his concern with Milo's, you know, Jess's character.
Ventimiglia.
Yeah. Yes. I always confuse that. Yeah, he was a little concerned with his work schedule because he's doing This Is Us, of course.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on The Marvelous Miss Maisel, which is also an Amy Palladino creation.
Oh, wow.
So, but he was a little concerned about he was overdoing it himself. And they were making fun of him. All right, Uncle Jesse.
Luke. Uncle Luke.
Cool your jets, dude. He can do it. He's a grown boy.
I think it's kind of funny that, now that you say that Amy Sherman-Palladino and her husband, Dan, tend to like to stick to their regulars, don't they?
Yeah. They're very
like
faithful
to
their people they work with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a trust thing, I believe.
Right. All right. So,
has no problem defending her shows. Let
oh
me
no!
Tell you. I read an article. The F bombs were flying, and she says lovingly, "F this, F that." You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was kind of fun. I'll share that with you later.
So, what was your Lorelai for this episode?
Oh, I have a couple, but my favorite was I got your good shit lollipop right here, mister.
Yeah, I loved that one too.
Followed closely
that
by...
That was a contender for me.
It's not official till you're huddled in the corner eating your head.
That was funny.
Horrors of the Gilmore
House. There were several good ones, but yeah. For me, my Loreline, I'm going to give it to Lane this time.
Oh, okay.
Lane says, every day you have a test. When do you ever have time to learn anything to be tested on?
I get that, yeah.
I thought that was a funny line. So what was your Rory?
Emily questioning Lorelai about the Iceman.
Yeah.
And Lorelai, specifically Lorelai's reactions to that.
That was the a whole, good scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like him, uh-huh, and her reactions. She's beside herself, blushing. She don't know how to answer, respond. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. My Rory for this week was Emily and Lorelai, also the bedroom scene in Lorelai's bedroom, and Emily's subsequent realization that she doesn't know her daughter at all.
A different take on the scene.
Same scene.
Yeah, different
but
take.
But a different take.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so okay. I actually like the fact that she came to that realization.
Excellent.
What was your Emily?
Oh, here we go. This gets me every time. This Mitzi character.
Oh, my God.
I don't know who she is, but this rudely interrogation of Lorelai about Christopher, that just rubbed me the wrong way, and how she was playing like she didn't know why she was there. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Love to hate, well, like I said.
Funny enough, I also chose Mitzi.
So we're of a like mind on
and
that. We're in agreement.
Her rudeness, her saying that she's working on it but really isn't.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, we were on the same page there. All right, so let's move on to ratings.
I'm going
to
give this one a 5 out of 5 hollow stars.
Why is
and
that?
I'll tell you why.
Okay, tell me.
The Gilmore Girls party was like a extension of the Friday night dinners for me, which
yeah.
I love.
Yeah.
More of Lorelai and Luke's interactions. Emily pointing out Lorelai's, you like him, he likes you. Emily realizing she's upset that she doesn't know her daughter. Just a lot of dynamics going on.
Yeah.
That I found fascinating.
Well, I actually also would give it a 5 hollow stars for similar reasons. I felt that this is definitely one of my favorite episodes. Actually, because a lot more of the Luke and Lorelai dynamic comes yep. out, and I really anything that's going to build that relate toward that relationship, I like. So I love any episode where they have some fireworks going off a little bit here and there.
A break from Max.
Yeah, and a break too. From Max, just so that way we could have some
a little breathing room,
some breathing room, yeah. less intense debating. You know, I also loved the double party.
Yes,
and I loved the juxtaposition. Of those two,
and you get to see
that's a $10 one, yeah, by the way.
I give you a coin
of those that. Two parties where you can see the different dynamic of how party with Lorelai versus party with Emily and Richard,
and how both of them fit in those scenarios.
Yes,
that was a great double take on it.
Yeah, yeah. It really was just showing the compare and contrast.
Yeah.
And then I do love the shopping scene, the moment where we were almost gonna have the start of a relationship between Lorelai and Emily.
Too good to be true.
Yeah, and then of course the bedroom scene, and then her finally realizing that she does not know her daughter at all in that small moment of vulnerability.
Well said.
So yeah, I just there was a lot to love about this particular episode.
Yeah, I definitely watched that one over.
Yeah, there. I would. It's one of my favorites. So all right, well that all is right. it. We've wrapped up another one.
We made it.
Yes, we made it.
We this crossed one, that finish line.
Yeah, this was a very good show. We will talk to you in our next episode. We're up to 7 now, right? We're about to watch 7.
Yeah, this will be the 7
coming. So ready, set, and stream season 1. Episode 7, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye. Bye.